Well, hello there. It is July the 1st, 2021. It's Kanuckistan, Canada Day, Dominion Day in the Great White North. This is the Fakeologist speaking. I come to you Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday normally. Today's my day off because we're celebrating the country of Kanuckistan or Canada. Might be the last time we celebrate it as a country, maybe as we go into the post-nation state. And today I'm going to be talking with Simon Shack and Hoi Polloi, and Monsieur Jacques Benoit is going to join in and say hi. In the meantime, I'm going to have to do... So let's say hi to... I'm going to move us all into the Fakeologist showroom right now. And while I'm doing that, I got to unmute Hoi Polloi. So let's say hi to Hoi Polloi. Hello.
Hi. Don't go by that moniker anymore, but yeah.
Sure. Sorry. I'm sorry. Should I call you DEFCON X? Whatever you want.
Yeah, DEFCON works. It's fine. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. Well, we have some catching up to do because...
But if you slip into Hoi, I mean, I understand. That's kind of how you've known me, so...
And if I remember it correctly, you already speak with him under that moniker and you already had the same talk, if I'm correct, a few months back.
Yeah, we did chat about, I don't remember exactly, I think it was COVID, the COVID narrative.
Yeah, everything is COVID narrative this day and age. It's inevitable. Yeah. We can start with 9/11 and end up at COVID anyway.
Yeah,
true. I'm trying to get. I wanted to do a sound check earlier, but you guys obviously didn't get my message to come by earlier. And Simon is trying to get in. I don't think he's used Discord before. I'm not sure he.
He's trying to phone me directly,
and I can't. That's not going to work. So I'm going to have to figure out how to. Maybe you could contact him, Monsieur Benoit, since you're my favorite point man of all time.
Yeah, I did write to him already.
Can you just call him? Can you leave this?
Via Discord.
Can you leave the green room and call him on Discord directly?
Yeah, consider it.
Okay. Okay, so there goes Benoit. He's going to help out. I had everyone on Discord. I'm not sure that was the smartest move. Actually, I forgot that I'm still getting used to Restream.io, which is another service I use. So, DEFCON, pardon me?
What is it called?
I use a program called Restream.io. What it does is I now have enough horsepower to stream my screen to YouTube and FakeoTube. And I use a program called Restream, which will take the video feed and send it to six different places at the same time. That way I can talk to many, many people and chat with many, many people all simultaneously. But my main site is fakeologist.com/blog. And my main video site, DEFCON, that you might not be aware of is called fakeotube.com. Have you ever heard of that?
I've seen, Kohler has sent me a couple of videos from FakeoTube, which are interesting.
The entire September Clues video set is there as well. Oh, I hear myself.
Thanks for doing that.
Welcome. Do you have any headphones, perhaps, perchance?
Yeah, let me switch to that. Discord isn't as good as Zoom at, background filtering.
Yeah, well, actually, there is a background filtration button called noise suppression at the bottom. You have to turn it on, though. That might help you. On the very bottom where it says voice connected, there is a little set of bars going up and down beside the hang up button. That's called noise suppression. You could try that. Okay, Monsieur Benoit is back. You're back from the field, Benoit. Or do you have a report?
Yes, so I tried to contact him. I let it ring for a good minute to no avail. So I just wrote him that I was calling him on your behalf and that we were currently recording on Discord.
Is there any way we could send him a screenshot. This is, I know Discord isn't the easiest the first time trying to figure it out.
Yep, I just made a screenshot and I'm about to send it.
Yeah,
to you.
Because really, it's so hard to describe. You click the Fakeologist icon, and then when you click it, it reveals all the rooms, including text and audio. And if you click the green room, that's our holding room where we will fetch you and bring you into the main room. And the main room is the Fakeologist show, and only people that we want in there can come in, including moderators. Of course, they have free reign. So, DEF CON, where do we find you in the world today?
Oh, I'm still here in Phoenix, Tohono O'odham, Hohokam, and Pipash land. No one's really, no one's like come and said, hey, DEF CON, here's your paycheck for all your work on Tychos. After Gopi actually did way back in March of 2020, which saved us because we were struggling to pay rent at the time, me and my partner. We're still stuck here just trying to save money so we can move out again and have our own place again.
Now hold on a sec. You were doing work on Tychos and Gopi paid for that? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So what happened was Tychos, you know, after we did a couple university talks, Gopi managed to, like, form some grant group, and they gave money to support the work. And so Simon got, I think it was like, $1,200. I don't know what that translates into euro. But my rent was about $1,500, not even before bills and such at the time. So I was going to just be like, you know, Simon really deserves all this. But I was so thankful to be able to pay rent for one more month before we ultimately just had to move entirely because we couldn't make it work after the economy, you know, the as my dad calls it, the damn panic.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but Simon answered and he is asking, how do I join? So I will just leave the room to call him and explain to him the ways and means around it. And I'm really sorry to interrupt.
No, it's good. No, we got to get Simon in here, man. That's good. That's Benoit, the Discoverer. I tried to get some alliteration in there. The Discord maitre d', as it were. Okay, so you were working.
Cool.
So you found a bit of a backing group to help support your research into Tychos. Or what was your main goal or main role rather in the Tychos.info model?
I was the editor, and I also helped check some of the math. And Kaham was a co-editor because there were some math things that I wanted math conventions so that the book was in, you know, a format that scholarly people would be like, oh, okay, I understand why this number is here or why this decimal place is here or whatever. You know, there's a grammar to math that I wanted to make sure we got correctly because if, you know, we could look like total fools if we didn't have that correctly. So I think that we did a pretty good job of making a book that is accessible but intellectual, but also like follows enough conventions that it is like you could really bring this to the bank, so to speak, if people were actually willing to look at it and sit with it. I'm still very proud of it. And I was totally joking about like how no one has come and given me tons of money for it. I'm absolutely grateful from the bottom of my heart for the show of the $1,200 is like, wow. Just it made me feel like, wow, there could be something here. There could be some hope in scientific endeavors that are really challenging the bad science that's become so prevalent in the mainstream media.
Mainstream media is all about bad science. I don't even think you can call it science. It's just propaganda at this point based on some very fallacious myths. I guess that's a...
Yes. I mean, but they do... Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point. I will just add that I'll do a yes and say they do try to back up their pseudoscience with real science to the point where it brings it just into expertise and just out of the public's basic understandings.
Yeah, good
and
point.
That's where they can hide the bad science.
Yeah, obscure the truth for sure. Yeah, for sure. It's a couple pieces of truth mixed in with a cauldron of lies is enough to fool people, and people just don't look into things. They don't have the capacity. It's just a general human weakness, frailty. It's probably why most people aren't really interested in the nature of the Earth and our role in the greater universe, if there is such a thing. So I think people are really... It's just not within most people's capabilities or interest or knowledge or any of the above.
Or at least the most people that we, like we're communicating with in the media. I think there's a huge number of people that actually use the media very differently from ourselves. You and me and Simon, we are interested in creating media that talks to people, right? But there are some people who have no interest in that. They quietly research on the side. They don't really want to engage in social media. So my guess is maybe what if it's only 40% that don't have the capacity to do the research, and the other 60% they just haven't come across it. So I think there's hope. It's just that. When we say most people, we don't really know.
You're being very charitable to the great unwashed, the hoi polloi, as it were. Well, you're very charitable. Well,
right? Okay. Maybe so.
You had the best. Your old username was the best, I have to tell you. It was a great username.
Oh, thanks.
Why did you decide to divorce yourself from it?
Well... It gets too confusing because I was using it as the way I was using words under the moniker was very like activist and very challenging and the way an activist uses words politically, it's divisive, it's to get people's ire up. It's to rally people, try to organize them, and I don't feel like I can do that anymore in that way, at least. So I just don't – I'd rather just be honest completely, just myself now. So I don't really want to – I mean, yeah, of course we have to protect ourselves and we have to use like some level of anonymity here and there, but that's not the same thing as like kind of the persona of hoi polloi that I confused for myself, and I'm not that person, but I was trying to see if we could organize people and kind of create a revolution and stop this this madness, the lies, and it didn't work. I mean, let's just be fair. It didn't work. And so I'm not gonna keep banging my head against a wall.
No, that's wise.
And I'm not gonna.
That's very wise. It looks like.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we've got Simon Shack.
Yeah.
In the Restream IO window of opportunity. Hello, Simon.
Oh, I made it finally. It was really strange. I couldn't get through for some reason.
Well, I wish I could have. I wanted to do a sound check with you earlier. I didn't really necessarily mind which way you came in. I just thought, for some reason, my mind always goes to Discord first. And then I realized, of course, if I'm in my home studio, I can bring you in through the Restream IO link, which is pretty simple. Yeah. You click a link and boom, you're there. Pretty simple, isn't it?
Well, anyway, I'm here now. So hello. It's a long time we haven't been talking, dear Ab. How's things? How's life?
Well, life is crazy and in the middle of the biggest change of our time. And you
have the same problems over in Canada, I suppose.
Well, and you just sent them over to us, and away we are. Here we are. We went with the ball, and we're running down the field with it, crashing into the end zone, hopefully soon.
Right.
And your great friend, DEFCON X, is here. Say hi.
Simon. All right. How's it going?
Hello. Thanks. So it's been a while, guys. It's nice, a little reunion. To have a little reunion. It was about time, I think. We have been doing things on our own sites, and I've seen Ab is still working very hard on all kinds of things, and I may have lost a little energy on the wider, you know, world fakery, but I mean, of course, this last year and a half, we've had one big thing, and I've been just plugging away at my solar system to, you know, to keep myself alive and not getting bogged down. And because Italy is really the hardest hit, and I think you guys know that. I mean, they have really targeted Italy really hard.
I was going to say the same about Canada, but if you say Italy, then I'll go along with what you said.
Okay. We don't need to fight.
Who's been hit hardest? I was going to say America. No, I'm just kidding. No, what I was going to say is I think that each country is going through its own, like, crisis, you know? Each one is going through a very, very, like, cultural crisis. In the States, it's... it's like about constitutional rights and all the pharmaceutical companies having purchased our politicians. But I think in Canada, it's just like straight up fascism is happening now. It's just horrifying to see what the...
Is in Australia even worse? Australia?
Australia is really just the worst probably of all.
Bad.
And but then Italy, I hear they're trying to say something now, what they're going to mandate vaccines or how is that...
Australia's bad. Canada's very bad too.
They wanted to push through compulsory vaccines for the health personnel, for medics and nurses, and that's caused a big stir. And there were like tens of thousands of medical personnel who said no. And so they have a problem with that, but they are saying, you know, right now, yeah, we at least the health people, they have to get the shot, and they're trying so hard to make as many people. I mean, what looks like they're scrambling to try and make as many people take the shot as possible in the shortest possible time. I mean, that is just the feeling you get. Because they look really desperate, and they're having just a one way on the mainstream media is just take the vaccine. Let me ask you: have you guys taken your pot shots? I hope.
Hold on.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Yeah, it has been the first time I travel out of Switzerland since this whole COVID thing started, and I get to say that it made me kind of hopeful because, like for example. You enter whatever place in Switzerland, they will bother you about the mask. They will say, do you wear the mask? Do you use your mask? Whatever. But in the UK, no one gives a shit. In the UK, it's more about personal freedom. You enter a shop, you don't have a mask. Everyone is thinking by default, you have a good reason to not wear the mask, and they will not speak to you about it. Let me tell you, in the 2 weeks and a half I have been there, I have been asked in only one coffee shop to wear my mask. Every other place, they just don't care. They just by default think that you have a good reason to not wear it. And if you are confident enough and you carry yourself with confidence, they will say nothing. So I'm hopeful in that regard.
I don't think we've introduced properly. Benoit, I would like to introduce you to the great Simon Shack. And Benoit, I'd like to introduce you to...
Benoit, tu es Suisse romand.
Exactement, je suis suisse romand. Ma langue d'origine, c'est le français.
Ah bon, voilà. Moi, j'ai passé 9 ans à Genève, donc j'ai fait toutes mes écoles.
Dans quel quartier?
Mes écoles élémentaires et le cycle d'orientation et un peu de le collège, 3 ans de collège. Après, j'ai fui l'école. Voilà.
Moi, j'ai fui l'école à 12 ans. J'ai jamais fini l'école obligatoire.
Oui, j'ai fait les trucs obligatoires, mais j'ai laissé en troisième du collège parce que j'en pouvais plus. I was just saying to Benoit that I fled school just by at the finish of the what is it in English, the college, what would that be, Benoit, in English?
I would say that it is high school, probably between the age of 12 to 15. And that's exactly the moment I stopped at age 12. I was not going to school anymore. The college, no, college is between 15 and 18. It's a sixth
orientation. I went to school at 17 or 18. 17 or 18,
I think. Ça s'appelle le collège. Et le cycle d'orientation, en fait, moi, je me suis arrêté avant le cycle d'orientation. C'est-à-dire, j'ai fait l'école primaire.
Ah, bon.
Et après, j'ai arrêté d'aller à l'école, en fait. D'accord. J'y allais plus, tout simplement.
Ah, d'accord. Très bien, très bien, très bien. Non, moi, j'ai fait mon baccalauréat en France parce que j'ai pu récupérer. À septembre, j'étais en France. I'm telling Benoit that I actually passed my baccalauréat, which is the... What is it called in English? You know, it's before university, just before university.
High school.
I think that's it's high school. To graduating high school.
Yeah. High school. I'm a high school graduate. Okay, I raise my hand. That's about
it's
it.
High school then.
Yeah, I'm ashamed.
18, I will France.
So
I went to France because I had I flunked in German and in math.
Right.
I didn't go to the math lessons and I didn't go to the German lessons.
How did you do in astronomy?
They kicked me out. There was no astronomy. Have you had astronomy at school?
No, it's a small joke. But Simon Benoit
it's a very funny joke.
I appreciate it. Simon Benoit has been at the Fakeologist Discord server, which is our social media server. That's a little bit different from the website. And he's been here for a couple of years, and he's done a great job helping moderate it, bring people in, introduce them, get them talking. And he may even have connected with another one of our Fakeologist members to the point where he's contemplating marriage. So there may be a Fakeologist royal marriage coming up between two top Fakeologists.
Wow.
We are also not just spreading truth and exposing media fakery. We're also creating families.
Spreading love.
Yeah.
Spreading love. Yeah, great.
So let me formally introduce Benoit to Monsieur Defcon X, who formerly went by the name Hoi Polloi. So Benoit, Hoi Polloi.
Yes.
Hoi Polloi, Benoit. Or, sorry, DEFCON.
Yeah, I have to say that this is a great month for me because I have the chance to speak with DEFCON, which is a legend is in the house, right? Simon Chak. And previously in the month, I spoke with Marcus Allen.
Oh, so don't say
it's
that.
It's kind of my all-star month. Yeah. No, but I don't mind.
I know.
This is my all-star month. I don't care about what everyone thinking about the other person.
Okay.
Personally, it is my all-star month. And I'm just starstruck just having the occasion to speak with you guys.
That's nice.
Wow, how kind of you. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I like talking to all you guys as well. All you guys have made my life better and bring me great excitement, joy, because I think that I'm speaking with some of the top truth tellers in the world, in the history of the world, and this is a unique opportunity to keep talking about this because we still have the opportunity to connect and to talk because... Who knows if the window is going to stay open? I don't want to be a fear monger ever, but I would have never said in 2021 we would be living under the creeping oppression that we're living under now. It's just absolutely bizarre. I would never have believed any of you if you brought this up a couple of years ago.
Yeah, but that's what I'm always thinking about these days. We were absolutely unable to predict that it would go this way. I mean, that the big thing would be something about viruses. I mean, we, of course, we covered the 2009 swine flu bullshit, and we were into it for a while.
And Ebola.
But we didn't see, and the Ebola, but we didn't see far enough at the time. And they were like a failing of us. We are not very good at, you know, predicting good at analyzing them.
But Simon, you always said that at some point they will have to do something. You know, we were questioning so many things and exposing so many lies. And remember, we would always say, well, they're going to be really cornered. They're really going to be put in a corner. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I think has happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So are you saying that there was so much coordination of exposing of the truth that they would have to bring upon some kind of excuse to derail that growing awareness of this lie system?
Absolutely. I think they're trying to stop something that's unstoppable. There is an awakening happening. People are talking amongst themselves.
Let me cite a precedent. If you will, may I express my strong feeling?
You can talk as long as you want. Long as you want. You can say whatever you want.
Years, I will just say this straight out, and I won't apologize for what I'm going to say. But I think that since Clues Forum was practically the only forum at the time, back in 2009, 2010, 2011, that completely picked apart NASA, the fact that they brought up Flat Earth in those years, they started picking up Flat Earth, was exactly a means of... They had to do something at the time because NASA was being, you know, completely thrashed by our research. And, okay, so it wasn't only us, but we were, I think... I mean, if you see the stuff we have on Clues Forum about NASA, I think we have the most prolific... debunkers of NASA, okay? So the whole Flat Earth operation, I think, was really devised to discredit biasization thing. You know, they brought up one after the other young guys who said, Earth is flat, but NASA is fake. So they associated the people who said that NASA was fake with Flat Earthers. So, you know, in the mind of the general public, anyone who would bump into our research would say, oh, yeah, they must be flat earthers too. They are stupid people. So I can't repeat this enough. Okay, thanks for bringing that up. Great. You have it. Oh, yeah. The NASA's Flat Earth DBA strategy, when did I write that? 2015, maybe?
Yes, you have a post on cluesforum.info. It's up on the screen right now because we are video sharing. It says NASA's Flat Earth DBA strategy. You posted it on Monday, July 13th, 2015. And discredit by association, control book.
I stand by what I wrote that day in 2015. I stand by it totally. The Flat Earth operation was made to ridicule anyone who would say that NASA didn't go into space. That's what we are saying. So that was a means of destroying our research. And they have been very successful because so many people are really thinking that Earth is flat. Even here in Italy now, where I live, I mean, there was no talk about flat Earth before 2014, 2013, about the time where we had finished completely destroying NASA, flat Earth starts. So it's too much of a coincidence to me. So, and then, I mean, I didn't even know at the time. Well, I was just starting looking at astronomy. So, you know, sorry, yeah, Max?
Well, do you think that they maybe... So, I guess I'm trying to read your opinion because, in my opinion, I feel like Flat Earth was a delay tactic, but ultimately it still results in like NASA kind of disintegrating or like public faith in those institutions disintegrating. But you're saying that it would have been better if instead of letting the public faith merely disintegrate, we also replaced it with like, you know, better intellectual ideas. Is that what you're saying? Because, I mean, I'm celebrating in some ways that, like, flat Earth, even if it's a bunch of people believing in it, it still is an embarrassment to the, you know, to the official narrative about satellites and so on and all the nonsense. So in a way, I'm like, this is great. Like, they tried to delay, you know, people disrespecting or irreverently looking at them, and they failed, because now everyone is like, or more and more people are going, you know, this is ridiculous. They're just you're on the vomit comet, you know?
Well, let me tell you one thing that I've had to really think over in these last few years. When I started, you know, getting the tycoons together and thinking, wow, I'm onto something here. I was always thinking, well, maybe it's not because there is a conspiracy behind hiding our solar system, how it works. And I was very cautious of saying that. But the more I read, and I tell you, I've read so many books of his history book of astronomy, and the way they turned around the idea that Earth was in the middle and that they put the sun in the middle is full of tactics, and really, I mean, they brought up clowns. Number one clown was, of course, Einstein. But before Einstein, there were others who tried to, you know, of course, Copernicus himself was not a real astronomer. He was just a guy who came up with this idea. And then he was backed by, it would be too long to explain, but there were some forces around the 16th, 17th century, which really wanted to, I think it was, you know, when Masonry and all these people started getting hold of the science and saying, we need to keep the science away from the public. So I'm thinking now that there was a conspiracy to make people think that Earth was not in the middle of a system, but it was now just a little planet among others going around the sun. To kind of, yeah, you know, make it depressing. We are just a small thing going around the sun with the moon, the huge moon going at 100,000 kilometers an hour around the sun. And when you think about it, it's absolutely absurd, given what we have on Earth. Earth is, at least what we know is that Earth is the only place with 70% of water and life. So why would Earth not be something a bit special? It is a bit special. But why is it special? Because it moves very slowly. It moves at 1.6 kilometers an hour. That's just like 1 mile per hour. That I'm saying now, I'm stating this very forcefully, because the Tycho system has come to a level of precision now, which is now impossible. You can't step away from it once you understand it. You can't go back, because Copernican system is geometrically impossible. I just have to repeat those things now and then, because I don't know how many of you guys or the listeners have taken maybe some time to read the book, which is now freely available on my website, tycos.info. But if you take the time, you don't need to be a genius to understand it. I just wonder why there has so few truth seekers that have at least taken the time to read my book, which isn't too long, really. It's just 200 pages. 36 chapters, and if you read it, and you can read, and you can understand, you should be seeing. I just finished. You should be seeing that there is logic in it, and it is actually, now that we have the Tycosium, which simulates the whole thing, it is game over. In my mind, it's game over. There is no other simulator, existing simulator, which simulates the observations that have been recorded for ages, for hundreds of years, as well as the Tycosium.
Yes. Yeah. The Tycosium is a triumph. I don't understand, but I think it's because people, but I want to hear Jack's opinion too, but I think that it's because it's easier for people to say, well, I question everything by saying the earth is flat, and then they can be lazy. They don't have to actually research all the observations and the fascinating things about this place.
Yeah, I mean, I will apologize for talking a bit, you know, like this, as I'm talking now a bit, you know, forcefully, because I've always been cautious and humble in my research. But now, years have passed. My book came out 3 years ago now, 2018, and I was in America with Hoy presenting it, and very little has happened. I was expecting that. You remember I told you, Hoy, I wasn't expecting, you know, like a boom. I was expecting that there would be silence around it, you know, deafening silence. But now, now 3 years has passed. I made 45 other papers, confirming each one of them, confirming even more. This is beyond the book, and my 45 papers have found so many really, really things that there. It would be too much of a coincidence that all those things are complete, by chance, you know.
But I got an incoming call here. I don't know if he knows he's on the show. Yes, hello, hello, Mr. Todd. Do you know you're talking to the great Simon Shack, DEFCON X, and Benoit? We're doing a live show right now.
Oh my gosh! Well, I am honored, man. That means I just need to shut up and listen.
Well, did you want to say hi to Simon and Max and DEFCON?
Yeah, hey everyone. If I'm on, hello everyone.
Hello.
Hey guys, how are you?
Yeah, we're doing a bit of a reunion show, talking to Simon. Have you had a chance to look at the Tycos model, Tycos.info, where Simon lays out the solar system, the binary solar system? Is that something you've ever looked into?
I know he was working on that, and then I kind of checked out of the scene in entirety, as you know. And
I think
I never
the quality is just too bad.
But I'm interested, yeah. I was just... Do I have a shitty connection?
Well, it's not bad. Can you hear him, Hoy?
Yeah, it's a little bit.
Yeah, it's a phone. It's a telephone.
Just barely. So, okay, sorry. My bad.
Yeah, well,
it was breaking up, but now I can hear him.
Hello. I'm going through a horrible storm.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, I'll let the line go because we're on a million different connections here, but glad you called in.
And if I can give my opinion on that personally, I never looked into the Tycos model. It's just that for some reason, and apparently what you said is debunking what I thought, but I thought that I didn't have the requisite quality technically to really understand the model and to form a definitive opinion. But apparently you are saying that your book is accessible to even someone like me that has stopped school very early on. So in that case,
if that's too much of a technical talk,
I will definitely read it.
Yes, I don't think I made it too technical. I made my best to make it accessible to layman, didn't I? I made my best.
Yes, we worked very hard to make it very accessible. Yeah. But especially if you can just check out the Tycosium 3D and compare it to any other observation, you'll find that it makes sense. You'll find that you can actually line up stars and planets and the moon and the sun and everything with just exactly the way we see things. So that doesn't necessarily makes so much more sense. You don't have to have all these aberration of light and all these like excuses for what the mainstream has to try to force their model. You see, that's right. Just it's absurd how much they're trying so hard to force their model. And I think that it's just the Tycos is just worth looking at alone for the fact that it's so logical and geometrically sound.
Yeah, so I just wanted to state two easy things.
Okay, Benoit.
Just want to state
okay.
Sorry.
I think there's a little delay because we're all over the world right now. Benoit, did you want to quickly state to Simon and then Simon next?
Yeah. Okay. So what I wanted to say is that I'm going to do my homework on the topic and report back on what I found in this book. So I will definitely look at tycos.info, download the book, and take the time to read it seriously.
That's good. Okay.
Yeah, I mean it's now available for free. I used to have a little paywall because you know I just needed to pay my bills these years. So that has covered a little, but now it's free. So anyone can read it for free on my website. So by the way, Ab, I see you're getting donations these days. I'm a bit jealous. I haven't had one for ages.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll have to send a donation your way because I still find your site the most inspirational out of this whole thing. And yeah, I would just say
that I'm struggling a bit.
Well, if anyone wants to help support Simon's work,
do you accept PayPal?
Yes, he does. He has a PayPal button somewhere.
Yes.
There
is the donation button on.
If anyone wants to support, support Simon. You're more than welcome to. Tycos.info at the very bottom. Help with the research. A donate button.
I appreciate
and
anything. I appreciate any help.
Yeah. Really? Well, if I could make a marketing suggestion, and I'm not the marketing guru, but I do talk to one or two people that are into marketing, and that is, you really have to be talking all the time, because in propaganda, because that's what we're in the middle of, the biggest propaganda war in the history of the world, the greatest marketing campaign of injectables in the history of the world, of any market, of any product whatsoever. If you can get yourself on in front of the audience, wherever they are hiding, TikTok or Instagram, maybe not so much YouTube anymore, but if you can get yourself with a 30-second or 60-second clip and make it interesting, then you will drive traffic and then also solicit donations. I don't really beg for donations. I don't have a paywall, but I'm just really encouraged when I come on 3 or 4 times a week and I just discuss whatever I see in the media and I want to deconstruct in a ecologist way. And I just tell people, if you want more of this, you have to support all independent media. And people do have money, some people that are still working. So please support the sites that you like and the voices you want to keep hearing. And
let's not talk too much about that. I mean, it is, but I just, the reason I want to mention it is because I don't want people to think that I have some kind of big sponsor behind me, you know? Some spooky sponsor supporting my. I'm completely alone in this thing.
Yeah.
I can vouch for that.
Because the other side.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, Hoy knows that. He's been here. He knows me for. He's been with me for many years, and I can confirm that. Some people say, you know, of course, everyone is suspected in this line of work of truth seeking to be maybe a controlled opposition or something. Okay, I know. I'll take that into my stride. But I just want to mention this while we are here talking. I really don't have any funding, external funding at all. I mean, no academic funding in any case. Some people have been helping me over the years, and I thank them. But let's get on and talk more about things, interesting things. I don't know if you want to talk about my first little gem, which I consider a gem, was September Clues, or if
of
you
course.
Want to talk about Tycos. But that's what I can talk about. That's what I'm here
no,
for.
That's,
maybe
that's what you're here for. No, obviously I met you virtually through the computer because of September Clues, and it's definitely one of the seminal pieces of research. And then the Great Vixen Report, which was definitely a super significant part of the research because it really blew apart the idea that people die and people get hurt in a big way in these operations. And if it's not true, then it really creates a great relief for many people, including myself. And even though none of these things are absolutely perfectly proof that it's true. I think those that make extraordinary claims have to bring in the extraordinary evidence. Well, we're just countering and picking apart the extraordinary claims, and I think that's good enough because we're not trying to prove anything. We're just trying to say what the official narrative is can't be true, but we're not going to say what we think is true because we don't know. We didn't start the whole thing. So those two things are super important, and that's what people on my site really enjoy. But can I just quickly ask you, let's go back to Tycho's for 1 second. How many people in the world, in academic circles, are involved in discussing or studying the Copernican solar system? Like, how much of a study is that in the world today? Like, why would I go into that field if I'm going into university? How many people do go into those fields?
Well, in America, America, astrophysics has been completely removed from the solar system. They're working on all these abstract models and dark matter and other invented things that aren't really even real or proven. The only reason there's so many people in the field of astrophysics studying that is because they need a lot of people to justify their system that doesn't make sense. So if you show up and you're like, well, actually, I just want to study what's going on right here in the local system, it's very strange. It's amazing how few there are. That's in my experience. And when Simon and I were trying to talk to people about this, it was like, well, how many people are studying the solar system? What? The solar system? Well, we've solved that. We don't have to look at that anymore.
Exactly.
I'm trying to find a good explanation for you, Simon, why the whole world isn't falling down, trying to thank you for your work on the Tycho's. And I think the main reason is nobody in the whole world is looking into the solar system, period. Because just like Hoy said, it is fait accompli. It's solved. It's not an issue anymore.
Yes.
Even though you have pointed out all the anomalies in the Copernican model that cannot be explained, and they are explained perfectly with the Tycho's, nobody is looking into even the Copernican model because that is not, it doesn't even seem to be a field of study.
No.
So there aren't new people coming in.
That's a problem. That's exactly the problem. No one is looking anymore for many decades or even 200 years. No one has been looking to verify the Copernican geometry. Copernican geometry of our own little solar system. They are now talking about, as just like Hoy,
they're talking about nonsense.
Dark matter, black holes, and
it's nonsense,
galaxies,
isn't it?
Very distant stuff.
Simon, what's your opinion on dark matter and all that?
No one is doing this.
What is your opinion on the state of astrophysics? What is your take on dark matter, for instance?
It's just stuff that make people, they get grants because that's.
But is it nonsense? Is it total BS?
Study. Yes, dark matter and black holes are completely unnecessary. Who said it would be unnecessary? The greatest expert, he was called Jacobus Kapteyn from Holland.
Mm-hmm.
He was the greatest expert of the star movements in the skies. And he said, if it turns out that all stars are binary, then we don't need dark matter. He stated that.
Ah, interesting.
And that was 19th century. He stated it long, long ago. And because dark matter is something they had to come up with because they have inflated the size of the universe so much so that for them there is matter missing. But the universe is much smaller. The stars are 42,000 times closer than believed.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no need for that dark matter. It's something that I've been working on myself to understand why they've come up with this dark matter. But it's nonsense. It doesn't need to exist.
Well, there really is nobody studying the stars. Period. There's no.
It is all conditioned by the fact that they haven't even determined how our solar system moves. Is configured, how our solar system is configured, because If they had done that, there would be none of that stuff of dark matter and black holes. They would, I repeat. But anyway, I can tell you something. I met a few astronomers in these last few years, and I met some really, 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 really important astronomers. One of them was the father of an Indian friend of mine who came here to my place a couple of years ago. He was a veteran. He was a director of an astronomy observatory in Pune. Near, Pune is south of Bombay. And he was a very nice man, and extremely, he was an astrophysicist. And when I told him about how Mars behaved, he didn't even know that Mars had the cycle it has. He didn't even know. He was a bit surprised when I told him that, yes, do you know that Mars comes back facing the same star 7 times, and each of these 7 times, it's 707 days pass, but the 8th time, only 546 days pass. And he said, what are you telling me? No, I don't believe that. Yes, that is fact. He didn't know that Mars is behaving so strangely. Mars has a 15-year cycle in which it returns facing the same star every 707 days, approximately. And the 8th time, suddenly, it returns in the front of the same star in only 546 days. I mean, that makes no sense in the Copernican system, because Mars is supposed to be, you know, in the fourth lane, a horse in the fourth lane, and we are in the third lane. And we should meet, regularly at regular intervals. But that is not the case. And, I mean, that's one of the best things of the Tychosium. When we built the Tychosium, can you imagine, Ab, when Patrick and I worked on the Tychosium, and he sent me the first installment of the Tychosium, and I tried to verify then these calculations that I made by hand. You know, I made this calculation by hand. It should really come back all the time. Mars should come back in front of that same star on the same line of sight. So when I tested the Tychosium for the first time, can you imagine how nervous I was that this would actually happen? That is, that for 7 times it returned on the same line of sight in 707 days, and the 8th time on 546, it did. It did. Can you imagine how I celebrated here all by myself?
Sure.
You know, I opened a bottle and I celebrated, because it had been just something in my mind. I'd calculated this, and because Mars is doing a spirograph around us, okay? So this spirograph doesn't close exactly at the same place the 8th time. That's why this happens.
Spirograph, I remember that thing.
There is no other existing solar system that can compete with the Tychos. I just want to state this. It's not like I'm competing with other systems that have been proposed. There is only the Tychos that explains this today. So what more can do you understand why I'm so enthusiastic when I talk? Because there is no other system existing now, no other guy in the world who has another system which is different, and it works as well as the Tychos. So in this moment in time, only the Tychos explains exactly why, for instance, Mars does what it does, why Venus does what it does. Also, Venus has this, strange cycle, and one time it suddenly shortens. All of our planets have those cycles. Well, no. These strange cycles are limited to Mars, Mercury, and Venus, because Mercury and Venus are the moons of the Sun, and Mars, which is the companion of the Sun.
Yeah.
Whereas Jupiter always comes back in the same place every 12 years. No difference all the time, every 12 years. So Jupiter and Saturn
Jupiter,
the more distant planets.
Jupiter is in is starting its retrograde right now in Aquarius, and I encourage everyone to go to the Tychosium and see what's happening now, because if you hit the trace on Jupiter, you can see it does these loops, and it will do for 12 years. It will actually go through a zodiac. Once you know how the zodiac is divided in 12,
right?
The Jupiter will actually go through one of those a year, whereas the Sun goes through, you know, once a month or whatever. But so it's just amazing. The system is so clockwork and so like everything is locked into place. Whereas with the Copernican system, they're always saying, well, it's maybe here, maybe there. Maybe it speeds up, maybe it slows down. They do everything in their power to talk about it vaguely. And the Tychos is the opposite. It tries everything in its power to talk about things specifically, where things are. And so, I mean, that's why I say it's a triumph, because it really succeeds where... Yeah, like Simon is saying, there isn't any other system that does that.
There's no simulator that simulates exactly what has been observed in hundreds of years of observations. Okay? So, and let me just tell you about Venus and Mercury, okay? Venus and Mercury sometimes pass just in front of the Sun, okay? And then we can even see it. We can see Mercury and we can see Venus passing in front of the Sun. You can see it. Everyone knows that, I hope. Venus does that very rarely. It's done so only like 12 times in the last hundreds of years. But so it's a very rare occasion where Venus passes in front of the disk of the Sun. And you can see Venus passing in front of the Sun, okay? I mean, I'm talking like as if I'm talking to children now, because... don't be offended, but if you don't know that, it's really the basics of Venus does pass in front of the Sun.
I'm
very
not
rarely,
offended.
But so it has to be a per exact moment in which it does it, right? So on the Tychosium, it actually happens exactly as has been observed in the last 300 years. It actually happens. In spite of the fact that in the Tychosium, Venus goes at the same speed all the time and goes around in perfect circle. Whereas in the Copernican system, Kepler said that Venus accelerates and decelerates regularly. It goes faster and it breaks, and it goes faster and it breaks, okay? And it also goes around the elliptic orbit, not a round orbit, but you know, nature likes round things, I think. So in spite of the fact that in the Tychosium everything goes at the same speed all the time, all the planets go at this constant speeds and in uniform circles, this Venus reappears in the front of the Sun at the exact precise time that it has been observed. Okay? So... I don't know. What more would you ask for from a simulator?
No, it's very good. Hey, Simon, what would? Okay.
The same with Mercury. Of course.
Yeah, I've got the.
Same with everything else.
I've got everything on the screen, so I'm playing with the Tychosium on the screen
now.
Actually, I don't know if people can see that, but
by the way, for everyone that is interested, the address of the website is on the live stream.
Yeah, tychos.info.
Not. Everyone is telling that maybe in the future. Interested? Yes, exactly. The link is on the live stream show notes.
Hey, Simon, we now know that most astrophysicists are talking about dark matter all around the world. And no one is really trying to explain the anomalies that they can't explain without dark matter of the Copernican model. Now, and I don't think there are that many people studying just the basic star movements anywhere in the world except you, and you have your model. So if you got your model to be the main model discussed all around the world and all the people in all the universities and academic institutions, how would that change things? What would change? What exactly would change? I know you'd be happy. You would be obviously celebrated around the world, but what would change what would change in the world, and what?
Nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing. I realize that nothing would change. No. Nothing would change. But we would be comfortable to have understood something more. That's all. I mean, the facts, Ab. I hear my voice bouncing back.
Oh, do you? Is it coming through me?
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
It's annoying.
Okay. Is it going through? How do I sound now?
1, 2, 1, 2. Oh, now it's gone.
Okay,
I can hear my whole voice. Okay, it's low. It doesn't really matter. I want to say one thing, very important for the listeners. Astronomers have discovered in the latest 20 years that practically all of the stars that we can see from Earth with our naked eyes, the closest stars, have one companion. They have a wife. All stars have a wife. I call it the wife, just, you know, for kids to understand it. The wife circles around the husband. They circle and their orbits intersect. That's a binary system, okay? It's as easy to understand as possible. That's a binary system. Two objects that circle around a center point. In the center, there is nothing usually, at least what we know of in the stars, there is nothing in the center. In our case, Earth is at the center of this dance of the Sun and Mars. We are the center of this dance, of our dance. We have Earth in the center. Now, Earth is not immobile. It actually moves a little bit. It moves at 1 mile per hour, and it completes one orbit in 25,344 years. But that's because the whole system gradually turns around in a clockwise fashion, and so it brings Earth around one circle. But we see all the stars having a companion, and those companions are very small usually. The best example is Sirius. Sirius is the biggest star we have in the sky, okay? When they discovered that Sirius, the biggest star in the sky, had a companion, which was so tiny they couldn't believe it, they said, wow, that's incredible. Sirius had a companion, and they actually, their orbits intersect. This was in the 18th century. They discovered this, or mid-19th century. They said, wow, we have to throw away Newton and all his theories because it's too small to be the companion of such a big star. And that's now called Sirius B. Okay, so we have Sirius A and Sirius B. All the stars have a B companion. A and B. Well, some have even more companions, but let's stay with two. Sirius B is as small in comparison to Sirius A as Mars is in comparison to the Sun. I repeat, this. Let's say it like this. The Sun is 204 times bigger than Mars, and Sirius A is 204 times bigger than Sirius B. What a coincidence. Wow. It was. I didn't find that on any book. I discovered this thing. How ideas? I went to Wikipedia and so how big is Sirius B? Well, it's this. It's got this diameter, and you know what the diameter is of Sirius B? It's 11,000 kilometers, 11,600 kilometers. It's slightly smaller than Earth.
Hmm.
So it's not a star. You can't call it a star. It's an object, or whatever. But it's smaller than Earth. Sirius B is smaller than Earth. So they were all going, you know, crazy. There was a panic in the astronomy circles when they found Sirius B, because Newton would not have, his theory would not have worked there. So they had to come up with the idea that Sirius B, every atom on Sirius B must be much, much heavier. Actually, they are now saying that everything on Sirius B weighs 400,000 times more than an object on Earth. Like a sugar cube on Sirius B would weigh 1,000 kilos, which is 400,000 times more than a sugar cube on Earth. So you see how they play with, you know, the ideas, they try to fit their things, they try to save face. When they find something like crazy, like it's a very small, small object circling the huge Sirius B, Sirius A, because Sirius A is supposed to be 1.7 times bigger than the sun. But then Sirius B is 1.7 bigger than Mars. So it looks like Sirius B, the Sirius B system, could be a twin system of our system. You see? And then in 2007, a French team with, you know, this new spectroscopic machines they have, they actually concluded after a long research that there should be Sirius C in the middle there. Well, if and they said, yes, we conclude that Sirius C, we can't see it with a telescope, but it's probably there. Well, if Sirius C exists, that might be the twin of Earth, the mirror twin of Earth. We might have an Earth-like planet as close as Sirius. Sirius is the fifth closest star of our system. Okay, it's not the closest, but it's the biggest in the sky. It's the fifth closest and it's the biggest. So Sirius is part of my book. In my chapters in my book, I talk about Sirius. Because Sirius is very important. It's the biggest star. It always comes back on the same place. The Egyptians made the pyramids so that Sirius would sign the start of the year. And I explain in my book why Sirius has remained so constant. They have made some, in the pyramids, they've made some small windows where they always see Sirius coming up in mid-July. Well, it has stayed there for thousands of years, or at least 2,000 years there. And I explain, my Tycho's model explains that, why it does so. Because Sirius B is moving in a certain way. It's actually following the movement of Earth.
Interesting.
There's so many fascinating things that I found. I really encourage you to take some time and read my book and go further, because it's fun. It's great fun, guys. I mean, why am I sitting here 3 years after, and not having someone saying, "Oh yeah, I read your book," and at least some interest, for God's sake.
Well, like we just said, people are not going into the field of astrophysics in the same way, and they're being diverted from just the simple explanation that you're giving of why things light up. Are young people going into the field? Really, the future is always young people. So are young people curious and looking into it? But you said that the stars are 42,000 times closer than are advertised by the traditional system. How close is the sun? Is it 93 million miles away, which is the official story?
Yes. The official, I've respected and I believe the officially determined distances of our own system's bodies, they are correct. What is different, what is wrong, is the stars. Why?
Oh, okay.
I'll explain this in a minute. The reason why I accept the distances of the sun, of Mars, and Jupiter,
what about the
is
moon?
Because they've been measured using 12 hours. I mean, you look at the sun on one side of the Earth. We know that the Earth is 12,600 kilometers wide. So we then look at it at one moment in time, and then we wait 12 hours, and we do the triangulation. And that is correct, because we can use the width of the Earth to make the triangulation. But for the stars, since they are so far away, you can't use the small size of Earth to make a triangulation, because they are far away. But so it's really so. What they said when the Copernican came up, they said, well, now we can actually try to see how far the stars are. But then we can use a triangulation if we believe that Earth is going around the sun in orbit, which is 300 million kilometers wide, not 12,000 kilometers, 300 million kilometers wide. So 300 million kilometers is 42,000 times more than 12,000, okay? Or actually 14,000, which is the Earth moves 14,000 kilometers every year. What they do now to measure the stars is they wait, they look in March 21 on a star, and then they wait to September 21 where they suppose that the Earth is on the other side of its orbit. So it has traveled laterally by 300 million kilometers, and they make the triangulation. Okay? They wait 6 months and they do two measurements, and then they say, okay, that star is that far away. But in reality, in the Tycho system, we only move every 6 months by 7,000 kilometers, which is 14,000 divided by 2. 7,000 kilometers is 42,000 times less than 300 million kilometers. Okay? So it's just a question of geometry. Just because the baseline used to measure the distance to the stars is wrong. They think we are going around the sun and then we'd have a 300 million kilometers wide baseline, whereas we only move in 6 months by 7,000 kilometers. That makes the stars much closer. I'm not...
Does everyone understand this? Are you following? Well,
the observations are right. The observations are right, but the actual baseline is wrong. So, yeah. And then, of course, there is in the last chapters of my book explain why the huge problem they have is that some stars are going the wrong way, the negative parallax.
Yeah, through no one has believed. But negative parallax would be expected. Yeah, in the Tycho.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
does this make sense to you? Are you following it, or are you?
I'm trying to follow. I'm trying my best. I'm trying my best. How's Benoit following it? Is he okay?
Well, I'm trying to understand as much as I can. But I think that for me
to really have
a good grasp on the concept will have for me to read the book definitely.
Yeah.
Yes, but I just want to try again because I think sometimes we don't, you know, I mean, Simon has his way of explaining it, which is very good. But I think another way of looking at that is, okay, let's say you have a triangle, right? And you know how to triangulate the position of something, right? So imagine an isosceles triangle. So that means like two very long sides and then one short side. That short side here in the Copernican system is supposed to be, you know, really big. It's supposed to be the whole 6 months journey.
300. Yeah.
That Earth is supposedly going 300 million kilometers. It's so absurd now. But the Tycho's version, you have to shrink that short side so that this triangle now is like a really, really tall point and just a tiny little short side. Okay. So it's like a spine on a cactus, and that tiny little short side is now only, the 6 months is actually just, it's like the width of, it's like half the Earth, moving. So, the movement that we're seeing, they go, if people actually understand that we need to make this shift in our thinking, they'll go, oh, well, that super tall pointy triangle just doesn't make sense anymore. We have to reduce it. Otherwise we're not going to be looking at the parallax correctly. So imagine that giant triangle that has the 300 million kilometer width. Is now just reduced. And that means, imagine with that triangle being reduced, all the stars coming in reducing in their distance to us. So basically you just shrunk
like the distances immensely, which is great because Tokubra also himself was saying, like, it just doesn't make sense that our sun would be one, you know, amazing bright point in a huge empty vacuum, and then on the edge of that vacuum are all the other stars. It just doesn't make sense. But if we're using the Tycho's scale, suddenly we are statistically more likely to be in, you know, a random scattering of stars. So you no longer need this huge pocket void that our system exists in. Instead, it makes more sense that, yeah, we are just another system like all the others we see, binary or trinary, and evenly distributed in the universe, not just like in the, you know, and the stars are more like our size instead of just millions of times larger than ours, which makes no sense. You can have it make sense if you want to, but for me, for my mind, it makes more sense that no, what we're looking at is what we are. You know, we are seeing variations of our own system out there. So if that makes more sense to you, then you should like the Tychos. You should give it a fair chance and look at it, because I think most people will say, oh yeah, of course, if a star out there is kind of like our star, then all the qualities of it would make sense. And that's just what Simon was talking about earlier, about how Sirius is so close to, it's like a twin system of ours, right? And we're seeing more and more and more of those stars doing that, in these, doing these spirographic patterns.
Yes. Can I pick you up on that?
It makes sense that we would be one too, yeah.
We are seeing more and more stars. This most amazing thing is that only three years ago, or 2 years ago, they discovered that our closest star, Proxima Centauri, has a companion. But they discovered this in 2016, 17. So, can you imagine, for all those centuries, they didn't know that our closest star has a companion. They discovered it only three or four or 5 years ago. Then they discovered that the Barnard star, which is another very, very close star and moving very quickly, that the Barnard star has also a companion. That was in 2018, I think. So they are discovering now, in these last years, that our closest stars have companions. Because they're so small, the companions are so small, so even the best telescopes can't detect them. But now they're managing to detect. Haven't you heard when you read sometimes even the newspapers, oh, we have found a new exoplanet? Well, those exoplanets are binary companions. The exoplanets they are finding, they're not saying this, but they're saying, yeah, we find exoplanets, yeah. Sometimes we find two or three of them around another star. So these are companions, stars they are finding with better technology now. Because they have better telescopes, of course, they have, you know, better means of discovering these things in the last decade. Of course, they've made some progress. So, there you go. Maybe if 100% of the stars have a companion, why should our sun be the only lonely star in the universe? Of course, the sun has also a companion then, and it's Mars. And Mars was the big problem for Kepler. Remember, if you've read any astronomy at all, Kepler was stuck with Mars for 5 fucking years. He was not understanding what Mars was doing because of this spirographic thing he's doing around us. Why is he doing a spirographic pattern? Because it is circling around another circling object, the Sun, and that will make a spirograph. Didn't you have, as a kid, the spirograph game, where you have, like, wheels that you put...
I put that on the screen just earlier.
Pen.
Yeah, I had that. It's fun.
You put your pen in the, the wheels, and then we'll make a spirograph.
So,
yeah.
Okay.
And the retrograde motions...
all these beautiful patterns, and that's kind of...
The retrograde motions were the biggest mystery for all, for millennia. They didn't understand why all our planets, do you know... listeners, do you know that all planets
sometimes go backwards. They stop going in the direction they usually go. They stop and they go backwards. Mars goes backwards for 72 days on average, not always 72, but a bit more or a bit less, but on average 72 days. It goes backwards. And that was the biggest...
And Jupiter is about like 4 months or something. Yeah.
Jupiter goes back... No.
It's really fun.
120 days.
It can go back. It depends how you're counting. Because it's... No, but I know what you're talking about, but... Look, I'm just saying, like, when you're looking at the Tychosium and you're watching Jupiter's moves, you can see how Earth's perspective would be like, oh, it seems to be doing this, but it's actually... well, anyway, you should just go to the Tychosium and watch it, and you'll see exactly all the periods.
Jupiter, Saturn, and the others go all around 110 and 20 days, because they can't go anymore in that geometrically. 110, 120 days.
Yeah, because
that's what they do.
Because they're all still following the sun, but they're just out further.
No, well, just look at the Tychosium, and you will see why. You look at the Tychosium, and you see exactly when they stop, and they start going backwards, because they do a backwards loop. Why do they do this backwards loop?
Yeah.
It's just a bit hard to understand at first, but when you get
familiar with the Tychosium...
You just need to get familiar with the Tychosium simulator, and you will understand it. I've had a 12-year-old kid here, and he understood it immediately. It took him 10 minutes to understand why the planets are going backwards. Because the Tychosium shows it's there. You know, you can touch it. So there is no better explanation in the world for the retrograde motions than the Tychosium. Okay. Whereas, how they explain this in the Copernican system? Oh, well, they explain it because we go faster than Jupiter. So when we go past Jupiter, it's like a horse that you pass, and the horse looks like it's going backwards in relation to the stars. So that's why it will look like it goes backwards. No, it actually.
I just realized that I was like 120.
Physically.
Yeah. 120 days is 4 months. I just realized that. I was like, it's like 4 months. No, can't be. It must be 120 days. But wait, 30 days times 4 is 120. So we're saying the same thing, just slightly differently.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, it's all right. I was just, wait a minute. Am I wrong? I thought I was just looking at it.
Sorry,
but no, we were saying the same thing.
No. I know you know exactly how the things work, but I was myself. You said 4 months, and I was thinking about days. Yeah, see, it's 4 months.
But I watched it, Simon. I actually did a calculation recently, which was really fun because I wanted to find out. Okay, when does Jupiter? So it does its 12-year cycle, and I was watching the Tychosium, and I was like, okay, so here's Jupiter doing its retrograde in each year. You know, it does a retrograde through Pisces next year, and then Aries through 2023 and 2024 and so on. And it just advances like that. Aquarius, Pisces, Aries, Taurus. And I wanted to find out how many Jupiter cycles it takes for it to come back to roughly the same spot. And what it is, this is really fun. It's actually 7 Jupiter cycles of 12 years, but minus a year because each year it advances a constellation. So you just subtract the one constellation difference, and it ends up being 83 years for Jupiter to retrograde in roughly the same part of the star field. And it's not exact because it's always precessing slightly. But if you play with the Tychos, you can find all sorts of amazing things like this, where everything is in lockstep with each other, and the moon, our moon, is kind of like, as Simon says, the central drive shaft or kind of like the regulator of all these periods, which is just amazing. But it makes so much sense everything would be...
You have no idea how many books I've read and then some book would say, yeah, the Jupiter and Saturn will conjunct on that date exactly. And so I went always to the Colosseum to see, and it always checks out. It always checks out. It always checks out. Jupiter and Saturn conjunct. What does conjunct mean? That they are aligned, the same line of sight, okay? And they align.
Yeah, the Grand Conjunction happens every 20 years, sir. Yep, 20 years, yes.
And anyone who, any astronomer, any amateur astronomer can use Tycosium and see that this is a fact. It's a fact. It already works. It may be wrong by a whisker. You know, the Tycosium is not perfect yet, but it's pretty damn perfect because I checked so many things.
It's a much better starting place.
And all this in spite of the fact that the planets go at the same speed all the time around perfect circles, which is absolutely contrary to Kepler. Kepler says that they accelerate and decelerate. Why would they? I mean, just think about it. Why would nature make this? Why would nature slow down a planet? Mercury is supposed to slow down by 37% and then speed up again. Slow down and accelerate by 37%, you know. Like, why would it do that? No, Mercury goes at the same speed all the time. Venus, every planet goes at the same speed. And it works. No one has made anything like the Tycosium. I'm sorry if it seems like I'm boasting, but that's a fact. It's a fact now. So I just say this a little bit, you know, with my enthusiastic kind of speech, but what am I supposed to do? I mean, how long am I supposed to live to see some, you know, to get some feedback from thinking people? Because there's absolutely
I know what you're feeling, because I have such a...
Well, we have all the solar eclipses and lunar eclipses are exact, almost exact, for hundreds and thousands of years backwards and forwards. I mean, forwards, if you go very, very much forward, there will be some discrepancy with the predictions, because the predictions are a bit wrong, and I explained it in my book. But, you know, within like 1,000 years or 2,000 years back, everything checks out. All the Venus passages in front of the sun, all the Mercury transits on the sun, all the lunar eclipses and solar eclipses, everything checks out in Tycosium right now. And we have just been working, two persons, Patrick and I, have been working on this. Usually such things are, you know, made by teams of people and in supercomputers, okay? But we have done this, we, two. Patrick and I, and of course Hoyer has helped. Checking this out, it is a fact now that the Tycosium is the best, absolutely best simulator existing in the world. So what are we going to do? We're going to sit here and just say, oh yeah, no, the Earth is flat, or maybe it could be some other thing. I mean, what are we supposed to do now?
That's a good. Where do you go from here?
I don't know. You know, I think one thing that's really cool. I'm always working on it, but when should I stop?
No, yeah, you should keep going for sure. I think one thing that will help is if we make If people discover it and make videos, then what they'll do is they will use the Tycos to correct bad information that's happened over the years. Like, for example, when you found out that, there was an accurate recording of, let's say, a comet or such and such conjunction or eclipse, and then you find out later that there was erroneous information published because they were going off the Copernican system and back calculating to a wrong date.
Yeah.
But then, and then you say, wait a minute, they're changing the facts. They're changing the history. But if you go back to the actual recorded, statistics and the facts, what you find out is, the Tychos matches that. And the stuff that it doesn't match is the stuff that was later rewritten in order to try to justify the Copernican system. But they themselves are contradicting themselves. So it's just amazing that I think the Tychos can be used as this.
You mentioned comets, Max. You mentioned comets, okay? And let me share with you my latest finding about Halley, the Halley's Comet. Okay, the only comet I've integrated in the Tychosium for now is the Halley's Comet, which is the most famous comet. And it has been working very well. I've written a lot about how Halley's Comet comes back in the Tychosium. And you know what the latest finding I made? It's that Mithridates, who was a Greek, really famous Greek, he fought against the Roman Empire or something. And his birth date was 135 BC, and it is written in, you know, we have some good books from that time. It's not that far away in time. People think that BC things are too far away in time. No, 135 BC is not that far. So we have scriptures and that said that when he was born, a huge comet came into the sky, 135 BC, and I found different accounts of this. There was a big comet in the sky when he was born, 135 BC. So I just go to the Tychosium. I open Halley's. I have Halley's going around in the Tychosium. I type in 135 BC. Bang! There is Halley's just over Earth, just passing Earth. 135 BC. But the official passage of Halley's in those times were 160 BC. It's wrong. But the Tychosium has come to even the precision of Halley's recurring returns. And then there are so many other things about Halley. It would be another 2 hours of explaining Halley. But the Halley's Comet is working perfectly as well in the Tychosium. And it's the most famous comet we have. It's the most important comet because Halley's Comet was supposed to be the ultimate proof of the Copernican system because Halley was a friend of, he was actually the sponsor of Newton, Isaac Newton. He had some money and he was the one who published, who gave money to publish Newton's books.
Well, so, let's, can we move off Tychos now? We've done an hour and a half on it. It's very interesting, but you guys are way advanced than us. But I have an idea for you, Simon. Because, Simon, I've always admired your way of creating posts on CruiseForum, the way you find little things and you have this very sort of insightful, almost sarcastic way of making a post and asking questions. Now, you can only go so far explaining the universe because I think your audience is super limited. Even though we all live on Earth, we can all look up into the sky. There is such a small, tiny fraction of the number of people in academia that even care about this topic, let alone the great masses.
Yeah. I realize that.
You have to realize that. And you have such a talent. There's something about your brain that you can decompose or deconstruct things. Why not?
Oh, that's because he was educated in Geneva, same as I did. So we are greatly more intelligent than the common people.
Okay, then this can apply to you as well, maybe, Benoit. Now, we are now at the precipice of a massive PSYOP, the biggest PSYOP in the history of the world. Yeah. It makes 9/11 look like a weekend of Bernie's.
It's the most important thing. Yeah, yeah.
And why can't you take your great mind, and I want you to somehow blow apart the central myth of the COVID hoax, and that is this whole thing on viruses, and if what one simple thing could we really focus your laser intelligence on and hoist to blow apart this trance that the entire world is in? And I've always thought we could focus on the virus myth, the contagious myth, the idea that we
The whole science of biology is
right.
It's
like astrophysics.
It's fake as NASA.
Or astrophysics.
The whole science of biology is bullshit.
Yes, thank you.
Okay,
is that how you say it in Italian?
Yeah. And we have to start there, because if we keep speaking about, you know, spike proteins and all these things, we are just wasting time. We have to go back to the basics of virology. Yes. There has been no virus ever isolated in the history of the world.
I agree.
Point one. Okay? There has not been any virus isolated. This is the truth. It's not a conspiracy theory. So it's the first thing you should tell somebody who believes that viruses transmit from people to people. You know, they have made, you know, I woke up one morning and I asked myself, have they ever proven that viruses transmit from people to people? Well, yes, they have proven that they don't. They proved that during the Spanish flu drama. The Spanish flu, you know,
they proved they couldn't.
War.
They could
first
not
World
transmit
War,
it. Mm-hmm.
And they had, at the time, they didn't have the qualms of testing this thing on people, because they took like prisoners and military people and tested. They actually spat on them, you know.
Sneezed on them.
Spat on them.
Injected
them.
They
put them in the ears, in the eyes.
Yeah.
They put this, you know.
Coughed
and
into
they
their mouths.
Never infected
like
anyone. No one got infected.
Slimed throat scrapings. Yeah.
Hundreds and hundreds of tests were made. Hundreds and hundreds of volunteers. You can't do that today. You can't do it. It's not ethical.
Well, actually, I think you can do it today, because they're doing it right now. They're
but
testing.
The Chinese.
They are.
I think it was November 20th, 2020. Anyway, it was November. They released a study. They found that they did something similar with like 10 million subjects or something ridiculous that we couldn't even imagine in a smaller population like the United States, of asymptomatic, supposedly asymptomatic people. And they concluded that they couldn't compel one person to become ill from these asymptomatic people. So they are still doing similar studies, and they are still finding similar things, that they cannot transmit like a corona, a so-called cold or flu or whatever. Asymptomatic people just are not spreaders, according to
the
science.
The sad thing that you can make a person sick by injecting something into.
Right, that's right. Into the bloodstream.
That is unfortunately happening. I mean, here in Italy, I have now several friends who know people who died 24 hours or 3 days after the shots.
Really? Because I haven't met.
I think about.
There's no question.
Okay.
These are not.
I want to say this. Please, let me say this. These are not victims. These are real people dying. 24-year-olds, 16-year-olds, all by blood clots, brain hemorrhages, always cardiovascular problems. Those vaccines are rat poisons. They are rat poisons. They are really killing people. And sorry if I sound... outraged, but I am outraged.
Mm-hmm.
They're killing people with this fucking Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson. They're all, that's venoms.
Right.
They're dangerous.
Yes.
And people still don't react. Well, they've started to react because they're starting now in the last few months.
But because I haven't talked to too many people. I haven't talked to anyone that knows people that are being injured or dying. So you do. So that's a difference. Because I haven't been. I haven't mentioned. I haven't found anyone that said that. So you're the first. That
I have
heard.
My own drummer. My own drummer. My drummer in my band who knows two people in his little place down by the seaside, who died. One died day after, the other after a week or something, and the people that he knew.
And these are younger people, not seniors. Not
one was 45 and one was 65 or something.
Okay.
Well, yeah. But then, you know, why do I mean, I've been doing a list of all the people who died in the last few months in Italy. And where do I take this list? From small local newspapers. Because, you know, if someone dies in a little town, it will come up. Maybe some journalists, you know, we can't say that.
At least be an obituary.
All the media is not.
Mm-hmm. Will there at least be an obituary in a local newspaper?
Yeah, yeah. So I believe those news
reports,
stories, because you know, I even considered going, you know, taking my car and knocking on the door, but okay, I haven't done it. But I believe that there are now. I made a list, and I just took an hour looking at the various, and I found like 45 young people in the last few months that died very, very, very shortly after the shot.
Wow!
And they die always in the same way, and they even mention, you know, blood clots or brain hemorrhages, super fast leukemia. Yeah. Well, leukemia is also
in the vaccine adverse event reporting systems. It's about I think 50% that die within 6 days, and a huge number, which is still significant, dying within 1 to 3 days of the jab. And they're saying, oh, it's all a coincidence. It's just a coincidence. Don't pay attention to that. They died of nervous tension, or you know. It's embarrassing.
I mean, come on. It's coincidence. That's what they're saying, yeah. So it's a coincidence that they're dying after the shot, but it was not a coincidence that they died with COVID.
That's right. It's the exact inverse.
Exactly. The double standard.
It's an exact inversion where, yes, with the person died of COVID, and even though he tested negative, et cetera, but that doesn't matter. But with the vaccination, as it was, what I like to call it, there's no relation, even though it was within a couple of days that caused it. Yeah, so there, it's definitely a Psy War. So, yeah, that's my thought, that if you could focus your talents into blowing apart this myth, the virus myth, and all the ways you are so good at pointing out stories, and then maybe if you could just create some breakthroughs in the way you write, and then you can tack on your Tycho's model, because they'll know that it's not only Simon Schack is not only breaking apart the virus myth.
Look, in the last year, my Tycho's work has been kind of dormant because of this.
Of course.
I have been looking at the COVID's scan.
Right, I know you have, and I published your stuff.
They may not have done as much work as I should have done on Flu's Forum, because I've been thinking of my Italian friends here, and I'm trying to save them, because I have some good friends, and some of them have taken a shot, and I'm so sad to see some friends saying, I took a shot because, you know, I better do that, because otherwise I can't travel and stuff. And it's so sad. And so I've been a bit lame.
Yeah, it's really sad.
Well, I want to see more.
I must admit, I've been lame. I've not been as productive, of course. I understand what you're asking me.
Okay,
Gab,
good.
But,
good.
I'm just a normal human being.
No, you're not. You have a great way of exposing things, Simon. Simon, you have no idea. You have a great way of exposing things.
I have a question for you, Simon. I have a question for you, Simon. What do you think if there is any of the bad effect of taking a PCR test, specifically a nose swab? Do you, and if you think there is any?
Do you think there's anything in the nose swab? Do you think there's anything like ethylene oxide in the nose swab that could be toxic, that could hurt you? Is that what you're asking?
I have no reason not to think that. I have no certainty. I like to be rational all the time when I think. But yes, probably those things that they insert in our noses are maybe, you know, some kind of... Because it is now clear. What is clear to me is this, that in 2019, in Lombardia, in the northern Italy, they had a huge, unprecedented campaign of vaccinating all the old people. And what happened in early 2020? An outbreak of all those old people who died like flies, okay? Those were the people who had been vaccinated with the flu vaccine in 2019, before the COVID thing came up. And I found some videos of the Lombardia government, Lombardia is around Milan, the most, where all the Italian economy is concentrated. It's up in the north of Italy. And so for some reason they decided to do it there. And the vaccine, they had 1.2 million people vaccinated with a new flu vaccine. Quadrivalente, which means, which should catch four different viruses. It was a new type. And I have people here on record on some YouTube videos. But you see your YouTube videos you can find where they advertised this in 2019, had 50 views. No one has knows about them, but it was just like, they made some video and advertise it's very, 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 very
underground. So they were pushing a new vaccine for the flu in 2019, and they advertised it to get people in. Wow.
Yes.
So basically what you are saying is that you will advise everyone to never take a PCR test ever, ever.
Absolutely. Absolutely never. Okay. Absolutely never.
I had my first PCR test administered to me 2 weeks and a half ago because it was the only way to enter the UK. But
was there a spit test?
I discovered.
I heard there was a spit test.
No swab.
There was no spit test?
No, it's a no swab. No, it's a no swab. But the thing is that what I discovered when I arrived in the Amsterdam airport, which was my transit airport, and then at the Birmingham International Airport, is that what I produced to prove that I was tested and negative was a simple black and white photocopy. And it's not like they even check it or inputted the result in a computer or anything like that.
Not yet. But yeah, I know. It's probably, we're in a transition period when they want to get this digital. So there is no paperwork. There's only chips and there's only phone QR codes. But yeah, we're in a temporary holding pattern in between the old system and what they want to bring in, which is the digital health passport and whatnot. Yeah. So yeah, it's coming.
Mind you,
as well as the new forms of resistance, which will also be.
Yes, exactly, Hoy.
Mind you, but on the Daily Mail yesterday, they said that now we are dropping the green pass. So they're going up and down, they're trying.
It's like a boa constrictor.
On another note, one thing that I'm going to experience, and I will give my feedback on it, and that promise to be fascinating and very interesting, is that for a simple reason of not knowing the real address, I did give the UK government a false address. And my Swiss cell phone is not operating in the UK, which was the number I give them. And it just so happened that I'm locked out of my email account. So basically, no one in the UK government at this moment has any way to contact me. So I was supposed to be in quarantine for 10 days, and I obviously was not. But the thing is that if anyone wanted to check on that or anything, they had absolutely no way to do so. So if there is any type of enforcement on that or whatever, I may be up for some trouble at the airport when I want to come back. But my theory on that is that no one gives a shit. No one is making the check or anything. And I will be able to travel safely to my final destination, which will be Geneva, Switzerland.
I have a friend who
I support you. I also think that
he says that he didn't get any, have any problems. They just they have these tests at the airport, but if you don't comply, you can just walk through. So it's not really true that you're going.
Yes, I would say go ahead and do what you can to avoid these things, and you'll be. We will. I think we have to kind of do a very strange boycotting of certain sections of society at this moment. I'm certainly not going to be traveling anytime soon with any sort of required. Quackery procedures. So I'm patient, and I do believe that withholding is actually very effective. Just basically saying, no, I'm not going to participate is very effective. So it will, yes, there will be...
But my bet was that I wanted to travel before the vaccine was a requirement. So in my opinion, my choice was to take the lesser of two evils, which was the PCR test, because I really wanted to go to Birmingham to meet another member of this wonderful place. And I was of the opinion that after this summer, it will have not been possible to do that without a vaccine.
Yes, I support you. I think that's a great way to think about it, and good for you for navigating this madness.
DEFCON, do you know anybody that's been adversely affected by the vaccination, and will you be avoiding it?
I have, of course, there's no such thing as vaccine hesitancy in the people accused of such. They've decided they're not going to take it. Hesitation has nothing to do with it. It's simply a decision. Now, I do have my suspicions about people who are very confused about their health and they get pressured into taking the jab and then they get confused why their health is strange. And, you know, it's difficult for me to throw myself into their life and say, well, I could tell you what I think is going on. But like, as far as like a direct correlation between someone getting the jab and then, passing away shortly after, no, thankfully not. I think that, it's interesting because now in the United States, as I was talking about before, the struggle has become, kind of like reminding the government that they work for us. They don't get to pass laws that go against the Constitution. So right now there's lawsuits and things forming of all over the country, especially in the South, in the Southern states for some reason. I don't know, maybe because of their history with the federal government, but
sure.
There are a lot of, lawsuits pending and notices, affidavits forming and, things are going through a kind of an interesting transition, I'll say. But I don't think it will end the way Canada is making it seem like that's, you know, all right, everyone's on the chip, get in line, everyone's a sheep. I don't think that's going to be what happens in the U.S. I just don't see that happening. I see a lot more...
there's more resistance.
People being more...
Yeah, there's more resistance. It's the decentralized nature of the United States too, which is a good thing.
Yeah, I think that
go ahead,
may
Simon.
I share with you some data from Public Health England. This is very recent data issued by Public Health England, who is the agency in England who, you know, is totally concentrated on, you know.
Well, Simon, it's probably the superimposed agency from the WHO, and it's probably a charity that was superimposed on the country. It's no more federal than Federal Express.
Okay.
No, but that's an important
just
point.
Just look at what you... Sure. But what you can figure out when you go to their site and see the numbers.
Do you have a link?
Came up with a few days ago. Yeah, well, I'll try to find it. But just on the top of my head, as I remember, is that they said that those who have taken one shot have 2.2 times more risk of dying than those who have not taken any shots. Whereas those who have taken two shots have 26 times more probability of dying. Mortality. The mortality of those who have taken two shots is 26 times more than those who have taken nothing.
Right.
That's what you can conclude by looking at their numbers. Wow. It's not like they are saying this. It's not like they are saying, stating this. It's what you can deduce.
You can glean from the numbers. Yeah, you can take that from
you
the
can
numbers.
Glean from the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm just saying this for all the listeners who still consider maybe taking a shot. Please don't. Please don't. I mean, I love all good people. I don't want anyone to even think that it may be a good idea to take a clot shot. I call them the clot shots because they cause clots. They cause problems. So let's call them the clot shots.
Yeah.
I hope none of you have taken. Have you taken a clot shot, Ab?
No.
Have you, Benoit? Have you?
No, because if that was the case, I will not have to take a PCR test because I will have been vaccinated. But obviously, but on my case, and you can quote me on that, I got the best excuse ever to not get vaccinated. And in my case, it's not even a joke, I am allergic to mercury, so I cannot be vaccinated. Never, 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 because there will always be mercury in the vaccine.
Right. Oh, is that right? It's always in all the vaccinations, mercury? So is aluminum, is it not?
It is. Then I'm allergic to that.
We need to start thinking.
But the mercury thing is real. I'm really allergic to mercury. And
but
there is
isn't
no
everyone allergic to heavy metals put in their body to some extent? I mean, let's be honest.
But in my case, for example, it would make the inside of my throat so swollen that I have to be intubated to even breathe. So it's not that if I was ever asked, I will say, I'm totally up for vaccination. But the thing is that it will have to be performed in the ER room because I may be dying if my blood enter in contact with mercury or anything like that. So, basically, I'm immune to the vaccine.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, but I would just encourage people to do some research, as I've done in this last year and a half. I've been really spending lots of time looking into the vaccines and virology. And Edward Jenner, who was the guy who made the first ever vaccine, you know, the smallpox vaccine, you know? He took some serum from the cows and he said, yeah, maybe if we inject this in children, it will protect them. And I've read a book of a doctor who, only after 50 years after Jenner, he was, you know, Jenner was hailed as a big, you know, he was introduced in the Royal Society because he had found this cowpox thing. And then there is, I can't remember his name, but there's another guy who has written a long book. I've been reading this book. So funny. Who tells about how Jenner was a quack. He was someone who got into the Royal Society because he studied the cuckoos, the cuckoo birds, you know?
Cuckoo
and he
birds,
had no credentials at all. He was very lazy. But anyway, he got crowned like the guy who invented vaccines. So the first guy who made the very first vaccine was a fucking idiot, Edward Jenner. Remember, Edward Jenner. Mm-hmm. So we have to start thinking that the whole vaccine idea, the idea of injecting a poison in our bodies in order to protect us and to create antibodies, is quackery.
Absolutely.
It's quackery.
Yep, it is.
Every single vaccine has to be avoided like the plague. But I would never have said it 3 years ago. I've always thought that maybe some vaccines have saved us from polio or smallpox. No, now that I've been reading for a year and a half, I understand I mean, there are so many books that they've, but mm-hmm. those books are hard to find. You know, the books that they have completely destroyed the idea of vaccinating people are, you know, you need to mm-hmm. really, really work to find them. You really work hard to find them. You can find them on, you know, archives here and there. But it's hard to find those books. But it's there has been so much.
If you're interested in a brief rundown of some of the science, there's Dr. Sam Bailey, and she helped co-write the latest edition of Virus Mania, and that's a and she does some very funny and entertaining short YouTube videos.
Yeah, I put her on FACO too.
Please read Virus Mania. It's a very good book to start with. If you're not familiar
Absolutely.
With how all this hoax has been played out, please just read Virus Mania. You can find a free PDF on the... They're trying to delete it. It's hard to find it now. But I have a copy. If you want, you contact me, and I send you the PDF of Virus Mania. It's a book written in 2007.
Yeah.
So, you know, long before our times, long before COVID. But it explains
she
exactly
updated
how
it.
I also
she
want to recommend
all the,
she
all the pandemics.
It. Wild organic oregano.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but is that book written by someone named Thorsten Engelberger?
Yes.
And
yes,
okay.
That's
and
one
Sam
of the
okay,
to
so
it.
There is a,
Sam
there
added
is a
to
version
it.
Of that book on audiobook that is available on Audible. But I will look into it to find a torrent link or anything that is free to have. For the audiobook version.
Thorsten Engelbrecht was one also who was in the front line of contesting the AIDS scam. He was there already and together with Stefan Lanka. Stefan Lanka is a top.
I just
top want to
mention too.
You must listen to. Stefan Lanka, a German guy who really knows
the WHO. I'll check that out. But I also wanted to mention that the WHA reproduced the study that others have produced that like strong natural oils of oregano and bay leaf and rosemary like basically kill all colds and flus and all kinds of coronas or whatever. I mean, kill is not the right word.
No,
because,
it's the wrong terminology.
This virus is just a particle. But basically, you will not get sick and you will have this ability to like defeat like infections and stuff. Not in all cases, and of course I'm not a doctor, and you know you have to. Every body is different, but for me, like I had a fever from just like a lymph node infection, and I just put a little of the oil on my lymph node, just on the skin, and within hours I cleared that fever, and I haven't been sick since. Early 2020, since I've been just having a lot of fruit and as Simon has recommended too, like vitamin C and sunlight,
D.
Because the like the best way to get D is being in the sun and
that's right
absolutely vitamin C and, vitamin D3 and zinc
right.
is
magnesium
important.
Yeah, there's lots of that, yeah, but basically healthy
but
living
selenium and
healthy water exercise and nutrition. There's only three ways to get ill as far as I know, and that is injury,
nutrition, of course,
malnutrition, and toxemia. And one of the greatest blogs
Toxins.
That I've read is Northern Tracy, and I post that on fakeologist.com/blog. Northern Tracy, or Tracy Northern, she has done a fantastic job breaking down the nature of this hoax. And it's the kind of research I was hoping...
Absolutely.
I want to see
Simon
Scottish, do as well.
She's Scottish.
Yeah, she has a bit of
I love her accent.
Yeah, it's a little hard to decode sometimes, but she writes great posts, and then she goes on a person's podcast in Australia and reads her posts completely. She's fantastic,
she's very good.
Yes, she's.
I listened to her,
and she's done the DNA breakdown as well. DNA, RNA, it's all science fiction. It really is. It's incredible.
But going back to vaccines in general, mm-hmm. if you allow me just to out my thoughts about vaccines, I think that the number one cause of so much disease in North America Please don't get offended now, because but it's a fact that children in North America are sicker than in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Because Northern Americans' children are, they, if you follow all the recommendations from the CDC, a kid between 0 and 18 years of age will take 76 shots of various vaccines. Yeah. 76 shots between the age 0 and 18.
Yeah, that's gone up even since
when
I was
young. That's why you have all these problems, guys.
I'm lucky
in America. Please don't be offended,
so many,
because you know I love you Americans, but you must stop this. You are the guys who have to stop this, because it's America who produces most vaccines, and in France as well. But you know, of course, Europe.
America is very diverse and confusing and complex, so there isn't any one thing in America.
I mean,
that
even
in America.
the enormous increase in cancer is probably due to vaccines. The enormous increase in allergies
probably.
And all kinds of things are probably due
to type 1 diabetes.
The mandatory vaccines that all kids take.
Simon.
I took 3 maybe when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I was so lucky that I only took 3. I probably took the smallpox thing. You know,
yeah, I was lucky too, because I was born in the 80s, so I don't have too.
But that's all. And so I'm still alive. And I'm going on with age now. I'm still alive. But kids are getting sick because of the vaccines.
Yeah.
So we have to stop this thing.
Yes, for
we
sure.
have to stop this folly of injecting stuff. And all of the vaccines have some kind of heavy metals, which doesn't make you good. It doesn't make you healthy. It causes problems.
Simon, did you look into the history
of... How can people not understand this?
Of anaphylaxis? Did you follow our discussion over the past few weeks about anaphylaxis and Charles Richer? I really want to point you to that post that I made on fakeologist.com/blog. You should look at the experiments that Charles Richer and maybe someone just before him did on dogs. They were injecting them with proteins from peanuts and... I learned about the whole word anaphylaxis, what it means. Phylaxis is Greek for defense. Ana means without. And by injecting the protein of, say, a peanut directly into the blood, it removed the defense that the body had to that protein when it came into contact, through...
Yes, I know. Yeah,
and
yeah.
The guy won the Nobel Prize for that. And so it's amazing. We're talking about 150-year-old voodoo science that's being upgraded to the computer age, and they're just going on about amino sequencing and all kinds of other mumbo jumbo. They're just adding a layer of technological deception, but it's the same old poison. And I think they're just injecting plant proteins into people. And when you put it right in the blood,
it's just
plant protein.
I think it's just playing hot potato with the toxins that happen due to lack of nutrition in our soil. We've depleted our soil because of factory styles of farming, and so even the normal things you get, even if they're organic, might not have the same level of nutrition in them. And so and even animals that we might think, oh, that's so natural, because then people get sick, and so we're just playing hot potato with this, like, oh, we'll have this chemical or nudge it here or there. But it's like, why don't you just go back to what has kept us alive for untold millennia, which is eating right, of good food, of good healthy food that glows, because you see.
But that's harder,
like,
and harder
healthy.
In the chemical factory world. That's the problem. You're going to have a hard time finding
that's the problem, unless you grow it yourself.
That's why we have to recreate it ourselves. It's very simple. We stop putting it in. We start sharing our homegrown vegetables and fruits with others. We do biochar, and we learn permaculture again. We don't have to go live in the woods. It's just a matter of simply adopting the good practices that we still have in our cultural memories, thank goodness.
For sure. Now, Simon, I want to bounce back to September Clues again, because I had a member come on the audio chat a few weeks ago, and he really spent a lot of time on September Clues, and it's too bad that you couldn't have come by to talk to him, but now that you're on Discord, maybe you can, but once you get it set up. But his biggest thing was the missiles in the September Clue. So my only thing I wanted to ask you is, are you going to consider redoing or updating or even putting all your addendums together into one video? Because even your addendums are really hard to find. They're all on FakoTube, of course. But would you consider doing an update to September Clues?
It's all a question of time. You know, I am now invested so much in my little solar system. So I'm just one person. And yes, I would love to make that. And discard the missile thing, which was, I mean, I was, there was, this was 2007, you know, I hadn't understood everything. And I was thinking, I was myself, you know, fooled by some comments by TV anchors talking about missiles. And so, yeah, well, there was a mistake. That was a mistake I made in September Clues. I thought that maybe they had used missiles in order to have something that crashed into the towers for people to see. But that was totally unnecessary.
Yeah. Do you think it would be worthwhile doing an addendum or just leave everything as it is and just let it go? Because it is getting very far into the past.
Well, I hope I'll find the time to do that. I'll do it when at this time I don't even have my video editor working now. I have to reinstall stuff and even learn again how to make videos properly. So, yeah, I'll try as soon as I can. It's just that I hope that people would understand that I've written so much about this mistake of mine. I've admitted that that was a mistake in my September Clues.
Right.
There was no missiles involved. Nothing was necessary to give the impression to New Yorkers that something crashed in the towers. They just raised a smoke screen. It's all this trick in the book. In the military book, you raise a smoke screen, nobody understands anything what's going on, and then you bring down the towers behind the smoke. And the few seconds that an airplane would have come was, you know, there was no point in sending any missiles into the towers. I admit it totally now. But at the time, you know, I was a newbie. I was just trying to understand what people... I was thinking that maybe some witnesses were true, were real. But all the witnesses we know now were crisis actors. They were just paid to say that they saw.
Well, it's the whole concept of PSYOPs, and it's a total military operation, including... the people that they put before us in the media. Did you look into the controlled demolition in the last week? That's been the study of the U.S. media, especially into Surfside, Florida.
Yeah.
That was a real...
Yeah, no.
I never saw that on Clues Forum.
The only thing I saw was that in one room, someone had the murales of the Twin Towers.
Yes. That was in a video that I put on FakoTube. Yeah, it's amazing. What did you think of that? Because I don't know if they put the posters up on the wall, but they're still looking for hundreds of missing people. It's just amazing. They're still missing. It was a real rekindling of 9/11 for sure.
That's so weird. What was it, the thing? I mean... just the front of the facade collapsed? Just one part of the building?
Very much like the Murrah building in Oklahoma City. Similar.
The
whole side is just rubbleized and left standing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I didn't look into it much, really. I must admit.
Yeah.
I have so much to do right now.
Right. Well, hopefully you can look into that, because the parallels to 9/11 and the Twin Towers are amazing, to be honest with you. And it's just, Yeah. It's just a rehash of all the same tropes that they use to convince people that...
Yeah, isn't it just, you know, one of these periodic things that they want to, you know, keep 9/11 alive?
Sure.
Keep the, you know, the idea of collapsing buildings. And, you know, I don't know.
If I can ask one last question to Simon, which I'm sorry to go back on that, but when we were talking, I was looking for this Virus Mania audio book. Is it possible that it is a book that is 300 pages?
Is it? Yeah.
Are you talking about Virus Mania?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, you found it.
The link to archive.org page. Yeah, I found it. Free to read, apparently.
Oh, good. Okay. I have saved a PDF on septclues.com. Septclues.com. And under coronavirus...
I'm not paying for people work, but I mean, the book is out for 14 years, so I mean that it's not that bad if we don't pay for it.
Well, there's the updated version... is also online at the fantastic website b-ok.cc, b-ok.cc. They have all the books on there, all the PDFs. And it was updated in 2021. And I'll post a link as well in my show notes. And I'll also post a link in the live stream show notes as well. That's the easiest place to find it. Well, Sam... actually created some additions to the book. Sam Bailey. So Simon, we'll have to get you familiar with the Discord there. It's pretty easy. We have all these audio rooms that you can click onto and talk to other people. We do an audio chat once in a while. And most of the conversation on all these psyops and hoaxes are done in the text channels here. That's where people can easily post videos and graphics and memes and all kinds of stuff. So it's just one of the simple places to converse. And of course, Telegram as well. I don't know if we've got you looking at Telegram. It's another pretty good app that you can use on your phone or computer and find all kinds of stuff. It's actually chock-a-block with Corona stuff. It's incredible how much stuff is on there, actually. So that's another thing you might want to look into.
I kind of wish Simon had just like, I don't know, like a podcast where he just talks about Tychos like once a week.
Well, he should.
And, you know, then people could just learn about it. Yeah, just do it on YouTube or somewhere where you can just... You don't even have to try very hard to produce special content. All you have to do is just talk about what you already know, you know, one little lesson at a time, and, you know, hey, here's your Tycho's lesson of the day.
And I would say that it can even be done here, because everything is already in place, and that will probably give you access to, I would think, a large audience in the end, because this thing, Fake Ologist, has been known for years now, so...
That's right.
In that sense, if you want to have an easy access to an audience that is already familiar and accessible, I will venture to say that doing this on this place is not the worst idea.
It's actually a good idea. But yeah, otherwise, put it on YouTube or somewhere.
I just want to correct something I answered to your question, Ab, some while ago in this podcast. Mm-hmm. You asked me what would it change if the Tychos is true.
Yeah, that's true. What would it change?
Well, and I said, well, nothing, you know. I'm humbly I said nothing.
Yeah, you said nothing.
But if you think about it, I think it would really, really give, you know, bash down those clowns who are withholding science from us. It would make it really, if the Tychos gets accepted in the scientific community, which it has to be in the long run, maybe it will take 50 years, but it is, you know, it is a downfall, first of all, of NASA, because, you know, what is a better way of debunking NASA than saying that the solar system is different from what they think it is. So it would be an enormous victory for us, the people, that a musician guy in Italy, Swedish origins, has confirmed that Tycho Brahe, the greatest astronomer of all astronomer of all times, because Tycho Brahe was the best. Tycho Brahe is, there's no question about it. Tycho Brahe did the best observations ever made in history of the skies. There's no one who's ever done the job he did in his 40 years of observations. So it would be an amazing victory for us against the network. You know what I mean about the network.
The network, yeah. That's your phrase for the powers that should not be.
Maybe
the network.
Mm-hmm. Maybe some listeners won't know that it's a word I coined many years ago to describe the elite. You know, we call it. I don't like the word elite.
The powers that should not be.
Those clowns that want to rule the world, they have to be bashed. You know, because they are lying all the time. They are liars. They are deceivers.
My opinion is that if Tycho is right,
they will make deal a big blow to them. I think,
Yeah,
that's what will change.
And I'm sorry, I have to leave right now. But I just wanted to say that people say it's a general knowledge that you should never meet your heroes or speak to them. But today I spoke to one of my heroes, and I was not disappointed at all. So thank you very much, Simon. It has been an honor to speak with you, and I really look forward to have the occasion
to
report
Benoit.
To you what Thanks. I found in your excellent book.
And how far is Geneva from Rome? Maybe you can go visit Simon.
As soon as I manage to get my driving license, I will move to Italy to meet you. And that's a promise. And you can believe me on that, because I said I was going to Birmingham, and I am in Birmingham. So expect me in Italy, I will say, in 2022. Definitely.
Good. I look forward to meet you, Benoit. Okay?
And we just thank you very much. And once again, thank you all, because in the end, we have an old star cast here. We have DEFCON, we have Fakeologist, and we have Simon Chak. So I feel kind of out of place, but thank you very much for taking the time.
No, we also have Benoit.
Yeah, we have Benoit. Come on, Benoit.
Come on.
No, it's great. You're a super fan.
But anyway, it has been an honor speaking with you tonight. But now I have to make a quick run for cigarette because I love cigarettes. Bye-bye, everyone.
All right. Me too.
Actually, so does Simon. You can smoke your brains out when you go to Rome.
Yeah.
Well, it was
Hopefully we'll live enough to finish our work.
Well, hopefully, Simon, you can do more work on... it says here it's only 10 hours and 49 minutes to go 973 kilometers by car from Geneva to Italy. So that's... you could do that in a couple days.
Sure. No, it's easy to get to Geneva. But is Benoit in Geneva, or did I get that right?
Yes, I think
Benoit.
So. Yeah, he just left. Oh, I think he's in Geneva, He's in Geneva. As far as I remember.
Oh, okay. Good.
Mm-hmm. He goes to visit Klaus Schwab and the depopulation committee. he's right there.
Oh, dear.
He's right there in the thick of things. He's in the belly of the beast, as it were.
Yeah. I mean, gosh. Yeah. Switzerland is a really spooky place.
Oh, my goodness.
Think about it. Yeah.
We're all over. Woke people are all over the planet right now. It's good.
Yeah. We're doing
well. We're like a net over the planet. We're going to wake this place up, shake things up, and we're not going to have these clowns in power anymore.
No. Well, that's wishful thinking we have a lot of conditioning, a lot of counter conditioning to do because the spell is very powerful, as you know. Just looking at your friends
it's
and family.
It's not wishful thinking. It's a fact. In my opinion, it's just that there's going to be there's going to be a struggle. There's going to be trauma. There's going to be people traumatized by the fact that they've been lied to for so long. There's going to be people resisting and, sucking up to government. Yeah, but, it's not going to be, like, a pretty picture. But in the end, it's going to be good.
All right.
It's not going to be a picture because, I have... I've been on, I'm on Facebook, okay? I have to admit that.
That's
so
fine.
Because why am I on Facebook? Because I wanted to keep in touch with my Italian friends, but also with my family, maybe. You know, I don't really have much contact with my family. But the sweet daughter of my cousin in Norway, she's a journalist now. She's like 24 or something. And she said, why are you guys, you know, so paranoid? Why don't you live calmly in this wonderful world? Why do you think there are evil people? You know, and that's what she was about.
Yeah.
She was saying. Of course I've taken my shot, she said. Of course. And I'm worried about you that you didn't take your shot.
Yes, yes.
That's what my cousin's daughter wrote me.
Well, I suppose your cousin didn't say anything to her, did he? He didn't probably. He probably had the similar opinion if he didn't tell his daughter.
So you know, it's kind of sad, you know, sad to see. You know, her mother was Kari. Kari was my favorite cousin. She's really nice girl, you know, typical blonde, athletic girl. I used to run with her long marathons when we were younger. And she has this daughter now. She's completely convinced that everything is quite perfect in the world. There are no bad people at the top. We are just crazy people.
Wow. So you're crazy Uncle Simon?
Yeah, I'm a crazy Uncle Simon.
Well, that's not good.
So, you know, I try to, you know, softly try to make her think. But there are many like her as well, I think, in the world. But mostly in Scandinavia, because Scandinavia, you know, everything has been working so well there for the last centuries, or and at least the last decades. Everything is where everybody has a nice house, nice car, nice husband, nice wife. Everything is working smoothly in Norway, Sweden, okay?
Right.
But now, with this new thing, there is some kind of explosion going on, because at one side, there are people who are really exploding. They're suddenly realizing that something is wrong.
Ah.
But then you still have these people. Yeah, I'm not talking about my cousin now. Yeah, I mean, like Patrick and his friends in Göteborg and Stockholm. There are people they're demonstrating. They're going down on the streets. They've never done that before in Sweden. They're going down the streets demonstrating, just like in London and Paris. Never happened before. And you know what? The Swedish police are apprehending them, and they're going around with gas masks from the Second World War. You know, those gas masks, you know, really heavy duty yeah. gas masks, taking old timers, old people, and bringing them away from, they're just demonstrating in the middle of a field, you know. But they now have a new law in Sweden, which is called the pandemic law, which says that no more than 8 people can assemble in one place. So if you're more than 8, the police will come and disperse you.
All right. We have that here, too.
They are doing it. They are doing it. We have videos of this. You know, gatherings of people who say, stop this thing, stop this folly about vaccinating, and COVID is a hoax. Well, the police will come up and even, you know, take old people, 70 years old people, into the police cars and bring them away, and then releasing them. But still, you know, Sweden is going through a really big shock with this COVID scam.
Well, all countries are. They just let every country is being administered a different poison, if you can accept that premise, to gauge the acceptability of this worldwide PSYOP. This is a worldwide centralized PSYOP. There's no doubt about it. It's well coordinated. No country is to go unpunished. And they're using, they're doing different degrees depending on what they want to achieve in each country. But there's no doubt there
it's
will
amazing.
Be synchronization.
How they have coordinated this.
It's fantastic.
How they have been able to coordinate.
But they are
it's
using
amazing.
Technology just the same way I'm coordinating a call between Rome, Phoenix, Toronto, and Birmingham. I'm using technology, and they're using it even more extensively to administer their coordination. The technology is there. We're all and Simon, we can talk directly. They can talk directly to every single individual in the world because everyone is holding a supercomputer in their hand. And if you go out much, just look on the street. I'll look at a group of four or five people. They're 6 feet apart. They're all looking down on their black monolith. They're not looking at each other. They barely look up to cross the road. It's incredible. So the elite can communicate directly to people if they so choose. They don't need the medium of newspapers or television stations. They can talk directly to people with their messaging, especially if the messaging can't even be blocked on your phone. It circumvents all the operating system on your phone and will make your phone make loud noises, and you can't even turn it off unless you take the battery out or drive over your phone. They've circumvented many ways to get the message directly to you. And I'm talking mainly about the COVID's messaging. So they're using the technology that we all enjoy to talk to each other against us. And there's...
But you know, the saddest thing, if I can interrupt you, the saddest thing is people falling for the Stockholm Syndrome, which means they are like loving their...
loving their cap. Yeah, exactly. It's because, worse than that. Yeah,
yeah, because there was a poll the other day that he made in Italy. I mean, polls are polls. You can't really always trust them, but there was a poll that came out. 80% of Italians are not going to stop wearing masks, face masks. Because they believe it's still necessary to wear them, officially they said
that
face masks are not necessary anymore on the streets. We have now relieved you from the obligation of wearing face masks on the streets, but there was never any decree that even said that. So they're giving us, I mean, here in Italy, they're giving people the impression that they are, going down on the pressure, saying that you don't need to wear the mask on the streets anymore, but still people will wear them.
Well,
there are interviews of young girls with masks on and saying, we are keeping the masks on because it's for the better good and not to infect our
and you can't be too sure, they'll say. Exactly. Well, I just went into a building today to visit my mother-in-law, and there's another new sign on the front door, and they have so many signs on the doors going into these places that you can't even basically look through the glass because they're papered with all kinds of the warning signs. And the new sign says that even if you've got your double vaccination, you still need to wear a mask. So, what is the exact point of the vaccination? Well, of course, none of this has anything to do with health. And we have to stop trying to explain it through the health paradigm because it's a completely nonsensical way of looking at it. It's simply a control grid that they're using, psychological operations, to convince people that they have to become digitally enabled so as to allow them permissions to do all the things we used to do for free in society. So that is really what they're implementing, and just a control grid to control people, their movement and their consumption and every single aspect of humanity through digital means. What right now we're just using photocopies of tests, but that's all going to disappear as long as people keep going along with it and don't fight it. It's all going to be digital. So the old saying goes, when someone turns off your bit or byte from 1 to 0, they can literally turn you off in the matrix where you will not be able to function at all the normal things. So it's very...
Yeah, but the main thing is that this thing is the ultimate divide and conquer scheme.
Oh, yes.
You know, to me, the ultimate one, you know, to make people say, oh, my neighbor doesn't wear a face mask, so I'm going to be nasty.
That's
to my
right.
Neighbor. And so on. And so people becoming policemen with each other.
It's going to be a lot worse than that in the future. And I don't know if it's going to be this fall. They're going to tell all the vaccinated people that the reason why we're locking down again, or the reason why the cases are going up, is because of all the people that don't get vaccinated. That's going to be dangerous, actually. It's going to...
Oh, yeah.
That's next.
They're doing so.
Yeah.
They're doing so here. They're doing... the vaccinated people are the culprits, you know. The reason why we have the Delta variant. The Delta variant.
Delta plus.
The Delta variant is... I think it's a kind of a Jewish joke. Vaccines are injected into the deltoid. The deltoid is our muscle in our in our upper muscle of the arm.
Right.
Delta is deltoid. It's,
I don't know if it's a Jewish joke, but they're definitely
jokes.
They're definitely going to be teaching you all the letters of the Greek alphabet. Oh yeah, I saw your post on that. It was funny.
Then there's another theory about why they call it a delta. Delta sleep is the deepest sleep, you can have.
Right.
It's when the waves of our brains are lowest possible ever, when we really sleep deeply.
Yeah, I really think, Simon, it's as simple as going through the Greek alphabet. They just want to use the... Because they didn't want to identify certain areas of the world because, of course, they want to prevent anyone from targeting a nation, saying that the variant is from there. That's not politically correct. So they're just going through the Greek alphabet and using all the letters there, and that's enough voodoo for people to...
Whatever.
It's anything you want it to be. Let's face it. It's whatever you want it to be. It's crazy. Yeah. All right, well, we've been going for about 2.5 hours. It's been a really good update. We had lots of Tycho's today. And
great.
Hopefully I can get you to put your talents, like I said earlier, into doing more expose into all the contradictions and foolishness around the coronavirus hoax. And of course, if you could stay awake. Did we call you early enough so we didn't lose you tonight?
No, it's fine. It's just that I have a different, I wake up very early these days.
Oh, okay. So you're no longer a night owl?
No, I'm not a night owl.
Okay.
These days.
Okay, so you're up early in the morning. That's the way I usually roll.
I've heard that about getting older.
Because it's cooler. It's very cool in the morning, so I have to tend to my orchard. And it's 6 in the morning. I have all the flowers of the zucchini, which I have to pick.
Oh, wow. And, 6 in the morning, you're up.
Yeah. So I'm a morning bird right now.
And I think...
Yeah, my dad gets up at like 4 a.m. or something.
Oh, that's mental floss. He had the best name ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a good name. Yeah, okay. Well, and the other thing that that Max was saying is a great idea. Just do a 5-minute talk on whatever part of the Tycho's model that you want to explore for the week, and put it on YouTube. Put it anywhere, on Instagram.
That's a good idea.
And just generate conversation.
And just post somewhere regularly. Just generate conversation by posting somewhere regularly that people know where to go,
and
it has just a simple star graphic, so people are like, oh, stars, I want to know about those.
And not only that, put your commentary on the day's events as well. That would be fascinating. 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. But don't forget, the attention span of the average human being is very, very, very low. Very low. Yeah. So you
I mean, forums are great. I love them. But we're kind of archaic, let's admit it, for, like, still using forums, when most people right now are communicating with, like, audiovisual stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. FakoTube is coming up to 1 million views in about a year. So that's
Wow.
Yeah, and that's twice as many as the blog. And my blogs are not... They're very small entries. But yeah, FakoTube.
Oh, that's good.
FakoTube is just video and moving pictures.
I just realized that Clues Forum seems a bit slower now. But on the other hand, each time I go every day on Clues Forum, there are like more than 100 people on. And that's double it was 2 years ago. It was like 50 every day.
That's good. Are you talking about 50 concurrent people at the same time?
So at least the COVID scam has doubled our traffic, I think.
Oh, definitely, definitely. My traffic has definitely gone way down just for the reading, but the videos, people love them. And I try and do...
I have a practical question about that.
Go ahead.
Go for it.
I was just saying that I try and do a show... I would say 4 times a week. And even if I don't really have a specific topic, if I just read my notes of the day, the things I discover, and I just try and also say, okay, guys, look at this site, look at this video, look at this. These are new discoveries. Because I find a new website almost every day of an awake person, whether they're awake to the COVID hoax or anything. And just sharing that information just keeps it circulating and it's relevant because it's today's information and not last week's, because I don't think anyone goes back in my blog 1 month, 2 months, 2 years. It's very rare that people go backwards. So even if my entire blog was wiped out today, it's tomorrow's information that people want anyway. It wouldn't be a super great loss, because the past is really not as relevant to most people. They want to know what's going to happen tomorrow. So that's sort of the way I look at things. But what's your question?
Well, my question is, I'm looking at stats on my site, right? I'm trying to figure out how many people are downloading my podcasts.
Yeah.
Or reading my webcomic. And how do you tell what's a bot and what's an actual user?
Well.
Like, do you have good stats for that?
Well, I don't really drill down into the stats for my blog as much, to be honest with you. Because you're right. For instance, the podcast, my podcast will be downloaded automatically by anyone who's subscribed to it. Now, I personally am subscribed to probably over 100 podcasts. So my phone every night grabs them, checks them. If they're there, it'll pull them down. Now, how many do I listen to? 3 or 4? So just because it's been downloaded doesn't mean anyone listened to it. So it's not there's only one way to tell who's listening. That's literally to say, hey, if you're listening tonight, send me an email saying you like the show. Now, if you don't want to send an email, you can send a donation, and that gives me an indication, because really there's no other way of telling. And my favorite correspondence, an email or a phone call, way more valuable than knowing, okay, 100 people downloaded this. Well, out of that 100 people, maybe 2 people listened. Or maybe one person, maybe only one person listened all the way to the end.
Let me say this. We must be the most underpaid workers, hard workers on the planet.
Well, that's why I do a regular job. I actually move goods around the city just so I can eat. Yeah. There's no way I would never be able to make a living. Like, I do menial tasks. I kind of purposely picked one of the most basic things that probably can't be done by someone over the internet.
Yet. If they give us $1 for every hour of work we did, we would be okay. No,
right. And I just opened up my P.O. box again because I was going to close it. But I just opened it up because some people just want to use that old-fashioned dirty cotton money to mail to you, and as opposed to the technological PayPal or the Bitcoin or the pirate coin. So, yeah, if anyone wants to donate, I've got the old-fashioned mailbox. So thanks to the last three donations, they just helped pay for the mailbox to go for another year. So, you know, yeah, it costs money to accept money as well. So it's pretty thankless, Simon. There's no doubt about it. But if you, my best clue for you, Simon, because you have that wit, if you could just put a few minutes out every week discussing the current events that are affecting people's lives most directly, and then they'll know you as the guy that also reinvented the solar system model, and you might get more traffic that way. So that's my best recommendation.
On what platform?
I know he always says, though, he doesn't like his voice, but I really think that Simon, your voice has good convincing power, and I think you should do it anyway.
Well, yeah, YouTube, Simon. YouTube, you know what? And I'm not even on it. TikTok. Uh-huh. TikTok has a huge conspiracy thing on there. Now, I don't even use TikTok. I was going to, but I just was spreading myself so thin. TikTok is absolutely massive with the younger crowd, and you want the younger people interested because the older people are marketing dead ends for most people in the marketing business. Old is irrelevant for most. And that's why this whole COVID hoax is targeted at young people. They're the ones that are just embracing the mask because it's a way to break away from older people and older ways of doing things. It's a symbol. It's a symbol that, hey, I'm young and I'm changing society and I'm making a statement. They embrace it. Even with my children, boy, I get so agitated when they'll mask up and I won't. They just don't want to. They want to be accepted by the new society, whereas I want to F you the new society. So it's a constant divide between parents and children, old and young. It's been going on since the beginning of time.
I wish I had someone some helper. I am such a dunce when it comes to.
Why do you think you need help?
You don't need help.
You're good at things. You're good at everything you apply yourself to.
Download TikTok and start talking into your phone, or you can. Yes, or I don't know if you can use TikTok on your computer. I haven't tried that, but most people. You could just talk into your phone or start recording if you have a smartphone, just record your screen using a screen recorder that comes with most and just talk over what you're looking at. Or just take a picture of your garden if you don't want to be on yourself. If you don't want your own face on there, just take a picture of your garden saying, hey, I'm talking today to you from Rome about, you know, these stars and how they work, that kind of thing. You could do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing is, too, I know that it would work because every time you're on a radio show or something, you sound like you're on a script, Simon, because you've got it memorized in your particular way and the way you've written it. So the way you talk about it is very consistent and very, like it would be easy for you. All you have to do is pretend you're talking to somebody and just talk at them. And you know, it would be basically like this. And everyone could hear. I don't know.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, I think about it deeply now. Yeah, I really need to do something about my, my social appearance on the internet. Yeah, I haven't done much.
Don't be obscure. You know, just participate. There's lots of ways to participate now.
And I agree with Hoy that the forums are 10- and 15-year-old technology. They're great for reference, great for digging deep. But who's doing that today? Don't forget, an entire generation has now passed since 9/11. We are in a completely different generation. And now it's so more obvious. So much more obvious.
Fascinating. Sometimes I realize that there are so many young people who don't even know about 9/11.
No.
They don't.
And they'll never
know.
They'll never know about
it. It's amazing. Time passes and
it's not important for them to,
You know, when we see a building collapse in Florida, the first thing you and I and Hoy think is controlled demolition because that's how buildings normally collapse. Mm-hmm. It's not because the soil gets a little damp beneath a massive concrete foundation, and the whole thing just comes down as if it was blown apart. So, but
What is the official explanation?
Well, there's been they're even using the ridiculous idea that climate change, where because because they said they measured the building was sinking at an exactly 2 millimeters per year. They actually said that, and they said, of course, it's also built on reclaimed land where they use garbage and dirt to infill the ocean. And that I can believe, because the front of Toronto is reclaimed land as well from the lake. They just filled in maybe half a kilometer with garbage and dirt, and they built Toronto out into the lake to an extent as well. So, yeah, they're using all kinds of nonsense. And, of course, they tied in the idea that the McAfee guy who has the virus software, they said he lived in there, but that turned out to be a hoax upon a hoax. But either way, they're making up so many stories. Not one person has said in any official capacity that it could have been a controlled demolition. So they'll never say those things. They'll never say that. But we know it. We know what the gig's up with us. So.
Yeah. Just a quick question to you North Americans. What about school shootings? Yeah. Are no more school shootings lately?
Well, there's so many people.
Well,
children aren't in school.
They decided to try to put them into public spaces like churches and stuff like that. But I mean, yeah. But everyone I'm talking to now,
I'm missing
those
school shootings. You know?
Yeah, but schools are empty. Schools are.
Oh right.
Who are they going to shoot? No, for the most part. Even in the province I live in, I think a month ago they said that the next year coming up, you will be able to stay at home. You will not have to go to school, or they'll make it an option. They will encourage you to stay home. So they want to stop the idea of gathering for education in schools. They are really putting the hard push on the horrible experience of going to school through your computer, which is only one small fraction of the whole learning experience. Mm-hmm. So it's school shootings are a thing of the past for now.
I do like talking with you. I do have to go. It's just been
We're gonna wrap it up.
I really wanted to get some artwork done.
No, we're good. We've been 3 hours. That's been a great call. We'll wrap it up.
Do it's you been have nice any... to reunite?
Yes.
After all this time.
Well, yes.
Thank you, guys.
Do you have any closing comments, DEF CON X?
Thank you. Stay optimistic and keep making wise decisions, and you'll be fine.
Is there anywhere on the internet that you want to link to for your stuff?
I would love people to check out my webcomic at loravu.com. That's loravu.com, and Simon actually produced the first song.
Loravu.com.
My other friends helped produce the second song, and they wrote it, and I'm working on a third song right now with other friends. So it's a great big collaborative effort with lots of people, and it's a lot of fun.
Okay, I'm looking at it now. So these are your drawings.
Yeah, I do it by hand now. I'm trying to get away from digital, so now I'm using ink and pen and scanning it in.
I'll put this in. I'll link this to the show notes. And where's the music?
It's so good. It's so good.
Where's the music so aspect?
Good. The music.
I used to be a cartoonist myself.
Oh, did you, Simon? A cartoonist? Wow.
I used to be a cartoonist
the
myself,
music
and I really appreciate what Max does.
Thank you. If you go to, if you browse the left, I think that you can select a chapter, and two of the chapters are the music videos. The first one is Larva Prelude, which is the music video that Simon did, so you can probably hear some of his musicality in there, and he did the bongos or African drums.
Wow.
In that track. And and then the second video I just released early last year.
Yeah.
I can hear a bit of that.
Well,
so this is your animation?
The music video isn't until the last 6 minutes. Yes, I did the animation. So.
Wow. That's amazing. Oh, this is a whole thing about 16 minutes.
Yeah, the last 6 minutes are the music video. The first 10 minutes are kind of the track that Simon mixed for like the background music while characters are talking and stuff. It was a lot of work. It was 17 tracks in like Wave Lab or something.
Wow, that's crazy amount of work.
Wave Lab? You use the same audio editor?
No, you did it, remember? We did it in your house.
Oh, wow.
And then you gave me Wave Lab.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we did it here.
And I think Kathy was there too, and we recorded her voice.
Yeah.
Wow, Right. Simon, do you have any closing comments for tonight's extravaganza?
No, my only closing comments would be, it was a pleasure to talk with you guys. That's what I want to say. It was a pleasure because, of course, I've been a bit, you know, a hermit lately, working along on my solar system, and it was nice to get together again. And hopefully we'll work out some better ways of diffusing all the work we've done in these years. I mean, how long have we? How long have we been knowing each other? Ab, when,
9 years.
Did I, when, like 9 years?
Yeah, it's a long time.
Yeah, I feel a bit guilty that I haven't been, you know, so much collaborating with you, Ab, because I really appreciate you.
Why, thank you.
But, I don't think we are rivals in any way.
No.
The only thing we've had, the only problem we've had. Okay.
Let's not even talk about it because I don't. Let's not talk about problems.
It's flat Earth. It's flat Earth. But you, because you were kind of following the flat Earth thing, that's the only.
Yes, that bothered you. Yeah.
Only problem that bothered me.
I think we have to look past these differences because we're mostly in common. We have a lot.
Absolutely, we have a lot in common for sure.
Yeah,
we have the common ability to diffuse and understand what's really going on, which is still pretty rare. Hopefully it'll become more common.
Yeah.
All right, I'll
play. And I want to thank you for your past work on when you read you know, the September Clues articles. You did some really good.
No problem. I still talk about it. It's a little bit overshadowed by what's going on now, but I tell everyone how relevant it was.
Of course.
So relevant.
Of course, but 9/11, I've seen so many people say that lately, that, oh, if people only had understood 9/11, they would understand better what we're living in now. And that's so true.
That's what I've been saying. And that's what, Simon, we know. I dwelt on it for years, and it was boring for sure for you and I because we just talk about it over and over again, but it was so instrumental in helping understand what I thought was going to be the next big thing. We didn't know what the next 9/11 was. Now we know. Now it's here. We're fighting it 16 months. 9/11 was only a few days. This is 16 months. It's not ending. There's no end in sight.
Yes. But, and Kohler says the next one is the cyber attack that will shut down the internet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, and then what about the UFO? Well, that's for another day.
No, they drag it up all the time.
Didn't Obama say that the UFOs are real? That they can't understand what's really. I mean, the Pentagon has released the idea. I mean, they released that UFOs are actually real. They can't understand what they are.
They bring that up every couple of years. It's the same. That's how boring it is. When you've lived long enough, you see all these things recycled. It's really quite boring, but don't forget, it's not just for you. It's for the whole new generation that doesn't know history. Actually, the only history they know is the history that they're trying to erase and trying to make it go away. That's the only way history is actually coming up today.
I have a question, actually.
Yeah, go.
And I totally acknowledge what you just said. That totally makes sense. But what I want to know is, why Italy? Why did this COVID thing start in Italy, and why are they attacking Italy so bad? What, Simon, what do you think is really the reason for that? Why Italy?
I have a good idea about that. This was, this goes back to 2008 or something, where we had the health minister, Beatrice Lorenzin, who is a really spooky woman. She was a health minister, and she lobbied and got through a law. She passed a law to vaccinate, to get 12 vaccines compulsory for kids. Otherwise, they couldn't go to school. And if the parents didn't vaccinate them, they would come and take the kids from them.
Wow.
They would actually take,
crazy,
come and take the kids. The state would take the kids from them. And they would annul the patria potestà, which means the, you know, the parental, they would just completely say, if you don't vaccinate your kids, the state will take your kids from you. And it was an outrage, of course, you know, in Italy. So a huge anti-vax movement started then. So they really made some big mistake there.
And exactly who in Italy is having children? Your birth rate has fallen off a cliff even more this year.
Yeah. But so I tell you more, because the idea that they are telling us now, of course, we can see people lining up getting their shots for COVID in Italy. But, you know, every time we see a video like that, it's like 100 people. But they're saying that, we have vaccinated now like 30% of Italian people. That's not even true. Like, they have not vaccinated 30% of the Italian people, much less. They are much less.
Yeah, I suspect the numbers in the U.S. too, actually, too.
Because what, a little clue that you can, because it's hard to understand how many people are really taking the clot shot. Well, they have made in the last few weeks a governmental video promoting vaccines, you know, taking TV stars saying, doing the V sign, they put the V sign on their shoulder and say, you have to vaccinate. Yeah, let's vaccinate. Everyone has to vaccinate. It's a governmental video, you know, an ad, a 40-second ad that they have been airing in the football matches now in the Euro 2020. They are airing this video all the time in the meantime between the football matches. Okay, well, if you go on YouTube and see that 40-second ad, you have 18,000 thumbs down and 150 thumbs up. 18,000 versus 150. That's 99.2% versus 0.8. Okay? So 99% of people, and all the comments, there are 6,000 comments, every comment, 100% almost, say, fuck off with your fucking vaccine. No one is going to take that. You have lost all my credibility. You fucking... because they're using actors and sports sweethearts, you know, to say that. And that 40-second thing is a disaster. But it ends with a screen where this is governmental, this is a governmental spot from the government, Palazzo Chigi, and it's being produced by Rai, the state television. So it's absolutely state spot, which encourages people to take the vax. And it's being lambasted. Mm-hmm. Totally. 99%. I know that YouTube maybe not the best thing to make a statistic of, but you know, you have 99% of people saying fuck off I'm not going to take this vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It may be a small example and not maybe representative of the whole Italian population, but still, 99% are saying, fuck off.
Yeah.
We don't want the vaccine. Okay? So that's why Italy has been targeted.
Mm-hmm. Boy,
many people in Italy are against it.
Yeah, that's possible.
That makes sense. Thank you for that insight.
Where can they find your podcast? I just got a comment from Music Master. Where can they find your podcast that you were looking into the statistics
for? If you search iTunes for I Like People, that's what it's called. It's called I Like People.
I didn't even know about that. I Like People? Okay, hold on. I Like People. So I Like People podcast? That should be enough?
Yeah. Yeah.
What I'd like to tell people?
The last one I did was with Gopi. The first one I did was with Fred. It has to do with music,
I like
community.
People.
And improving the world.
Oh, that's a song. Do you have any more keywords? It's a little too general. I Like People podcast.
Didn't you go to iTunes?
Well, I'm just going to Google right now. Okay, I Like People on Apple Podcasts.
No, Google's not going to... Yeah, that's going to be more specific.
Actually, it's on your own blog.
It has to be.
Or your own website, maxime.com. Because don't forget, not everyone uses iTunes.
Yeah, I know, but that's the easiest way to find it. But yeah, maxime.com. You can check it out there, too.
Okay, and it's been a while, it looks like, since you've done anything. It says here.
Yeah, I'm looking for more people to interview, actually. Would you be interested?
Of course. Of course.
Science and technology.
But
there you go.
But the only thing is, I'm trying to get real names, though, or at least a pseudonym.
Yeah, don't worry.
And I like to use a portrait of a person on the cover, geez. So maybe not you.
Well, you've got my you got my wizard outfit.
That's true. Yeah, maybe that'll do. Maybe we can just go with the.
Do you want
the
content, or
character.
Do you want just the gloss? Come on, you want the content, not the shell.
Okay,
we'll figure
All
it
right.
out.
We'll go. Let's line it up. Let me know when you're free, and we'll I'll do an interview with you.
Sure.
The only thing is, you have to think of.
Yes.
You have to think of a. Like a musician that you want me to play, and I use the fair use to review music. So just pick any artist, you know, your favorite artist, your favorite song, and we'll talk about it and why you like it. That's usually one of the subjects.
I wish I had a favorite artist. I just like so much music. I don't think I can give that moniker. We'll just
pick a Fleetwood Mac song or something. You know, anything that you like.
Well, of course, social service is number one in my mind all the time. Actually, I was trying to find your bloody music and play it at the beginning of this podcast, but it's been so long since I've played it, I'm not sure exactly where it is on my...
Oh, you don't have the link to our Bandcamp?
Well, of course I do, but I always like to find it locally. I don't like to play off the internet. I know I've downloaded it somewhere, but I... Oh, actually, I've got a whole thing called Simon Shack under my music file. See, I don't listen to music that much anymore. I just don't have the time. Mm. But now I just found it. We've got the September Clues audio, which to me is just... I don't know how you fit the music
to the video.
We've
done a new album last year. We did a new album. And you remember we did the podcast.
Yeah.
A new show with an album I made.
Was that Songs in a Vacuum?
We have a new one now. No. Songs in a Vacuum is 2017, I think.
Songs
and
in a Vacuum, Something
Cosmic,
Fishy?
Cosmic Relief.
Okay, I don't have
Cosmic
that one
Relief.
Yet. I'll have to pick it up.
You don't have that.
What's the link? I'll put the link so we Simon can make some, let's see, Cosmic Relief, Bandcamp. Let's see. Is that where you sell it?
This social service.
Bandcamp. Okay, I've got it here. CosmicRelief.bandcamp. Wait, that's not it.
Yeah.
That's somebody else. Am's Meditation.
Where can I send the link here on this page?
Here it is. I've got it. The social service 1.bandcamp.com.
Yeah.
So
yes.
Who's social? Yeah. Who's the social?
And
who got the first one? Who got the social service? Somebody got the social service, who? And you had to pick number one. That implies someone else took it.
Yeah. There was a Dutch band called Social Service.
How's that possible?
I don't know.
Tell a live vision. Okay, what I'll do? Who should I play? Should I play Cosmic Relief on the way out, or should I play Laura?
The one you just started is called Tell Live Vision.
Tell a live vision. Tell a live vision. I love it. Of course, that's.
So you haven't listened to it yet.
No, I did. I know. I listened to it when you posted it back in the day.
Okay.
No, I did. But well, why don't we close out on that? Is that an optimistic way to close?
Yeah. Television.
Yeah, but you have to tell me when we have to tell me when we can do the podcast, Ab.
Well,
when are you free?
Depends on the quality. If you want microphone quality, like here,
I want high quality, good mic. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, then I have to be sitting down in front of my.
I don't want Discord BS. I want to do like a, you know, proper one.
Yeah, Discord is pretty bad.
Actually, it's not bad. You're on Discord
right now.
You sound fine. But that's fine. Can I take a rain check? Because I do my show a few times a week. And you have your hours, and I have my hours. So let us take our schedules and overlap them and see where the coincidences are. That kind of thing. But
I don't have any of that. I'm totally open. So just pick your next free time.
All right. I will.
And I'll probably be able to do it because I only work on the weekends right now.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, well, we'll figure it out. We have all kinds of communication methods right now. We've got email, we've got Discord. We will figure it out. Let's discuss.
Okay.
Is that fair?
All right, well, in that case, have a good evening, day.
And, yes.
And I'm going to midnight. And
yes, it's been a good show.
A wonderful rest of your summer.
And let's keep more in touch than we have done lately.
Yes, we will. We have to. I want to keep talking about COVID. I want Simon to keep posting on all the problems with the COVID story. So keep going. Let's keep it up.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Yes.
And we're going
thank
to
you.
Play out
thank you so much.
With thank you guys. Cosmic Relief. Here we go.
All right. Okay. Yes.
want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!